Well, good morning, everybody. It's 10 o'clock, so we're going to start. Welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police, to the honourable members, to the Minister, Police, his delegation, the National Commission and the team. I also saw the MC of the Western Cape, the Committee of Policing. Also civil society, media, you're very much welcome at this Portfolio Committee meeting. Maybe just a few administrative matters before we proceed with today's briefing. I want to thank all the members of the Portfolio Committee for last week's oversight visit to the Free State. Also, members working very hard on the public holiday on Thursday. I just want to inform members that I've received comprehensive responses from the Free State Provincial Commissioner dealing with all the outstanding issues. The content advisor has looked at, so we'll make that available to members, that you can also study those responses and to make sure that you're favoured with the relevant feedback. So thank you to the members. Then we come to today's meeting. I think it is a historic meeting. I think it's the first time that the statistics on crime by SAPS is made available to a portfolio committee at the portfolio committee. And I want to thank the Minister of Police for taking the initiative with that. I think it indicates that the role of Parliament is important in terms of oversight, and also that the Portfolio Committee can get first bite at the cherry and reflect on the ground statistics. Members also remember, and we've made copies available, of our interactions last year in October with the police management on the ground stats. We made certain observations, and there was also observations with regard to the AG, so we've just made available to members that the members can peruse that and have a look at that. And the purpose today will be to get that briefing and then give an opportunity to members to interact on the report. I first come to ask the members to introduce themselves, and then I will give an opportunity to the Minister to make some introductory remarks as well as introduce his delegation. Also, welcome to the Acting Secretary of the Civilian Police Department, as well as the Acting Director of IPT, is also here. So welcome to them as well. We will start here on, if you welcome to this session.
Goedemorgen, dames en heren. Mijn naam is Amy Bulewati, ik ben lid van de comité Vajra.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Cindy Lamona, a member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Marke, member of this committee.
Good morning, colleagues. A.M. Sheikh Imam, member of this committee.
Goedemorgen, dames en heren. Ik is Pieter Groenewald, mooie minister. En ik is lid van de committee.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, Stan Bonani. I'm Zatiele Mbele, member of the committee.
And good morning, I'm Donna Karabang.
Good morning, Albert Mungango, member of this committee.
Thank you very much. I just must indicate we've received two apologies. It's from Ms. Elena Ramatakami, as well as from Ms. Mabija. So those are the two apologies. Also, a word of welcome to the Deputy Minister of Police, Honorable Sojourn. She's also very much welcome, and welcome to participate in the proceedings. So, Minister, I'm going to give you now the opportunity. Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair President. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I'll just be reflecting that I'm surrounded by two women. One is black and one is white. And that makes me happy. Because I'm blended between the two complexions. So. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation that we'll be running today is generally in two parts. The first part is what I would present to the Portfolio Committee as generally an overview of what the five steps appear to be and what they possibly represent and so forth. The second part is, of course, getting into the detail in terms of the actual statistical data and so forth on the side of the National Commissioner. And there are two general points that we want to make. Is that we should remember that when we deal with the question of crime statistics, essentially we're dealing with the social circumstances, of our society, the social circumstances of our country. So it's not just simply about numbers. Actually numbers, as we said, are also reflective of the state of the of society. So it is essentially about who we are, and perhaps what we should also finally resolve to do as South Africans dealing with our own social circumstances. Now, the South African Police Services is responsible for a population of about 54 million, and we have about 1,138 police stations across the country. Our personal strength stands at 194,852 police men and women, and therefore the distribution ratio, the population ratio, police versus population, stands at 1:358. In other words, one police member is to 358 citizens. And the international standard, particularly by the United Nations, is 1:460. On the question of our statistics, you remember that when we reported on the crime stats last year, we indicated that Chairperson remembers that we were working with Stats SA to look at the question of our statistics around integrity questions, around authenticity and everything else related to statistics. And you will also remember that we were saying that we in the move towards the question of official statistics, moving away from national statistics and so on. So we are continuing on that path, and as a result thereof, we are now in a memorandum of understanding with the Statistics of Africa, and the memorandum which actually broadly speaking looks at four critical areas. The one is the provision of technical support to the South African Police Service in its production of policing data. The second point is supporting the South African Police Service in consolidating crime statistical definitions and counting rules to produce data for quality prepared statistics. The third point, in the MOU is forming a joint working plan to implement projects for collaboration in the production of identified data. The fourth broad point covered by the MOU is supporting the South African Police Service by specifically to monitor and focus trends in the country's crime statistics. The statistics that we're presenting here before you, honourable members, today have been assessed by the Statistics of Africa against the first point being the methodological soundness, accuracy, comparability, and coherence, and integrity and timely and tenderness. Now, you will also remember that we are still on the same trend as the same approach that we had last year, that we take a longitudinal view around the question of crime statistics in this country, spanning 10 and 5 year periods. Now, over the 10 year period, we still, as South Africa, experience a decrease in following the categories of crime. Conduct crimes over the 10-year period reduced by 17.8%. Conduct-related crimes over the same period reduced or decreased by 15.6%. And other serious crimes, they went down over the 10-year period by 7.6%. And property-related crimes by 2.3%. The report that I'm presenting here today focuses on 17 community-reported crime, crimes and 3 police-detected crimes. On the 17 community serious crimes, in other words, those are the crimes in which ordinary members of our population walk into our police stations to file complaints, stands at about 83%. And around contact crime, which is largely defined or comprised of attempted murder, sexual offences, assaults, the assault, GBH, and common assault, robbery, aggravation, and robbery, and common robbery. Within that category, it stands at 34.4%, and of course, in the period under review, we have had a 0.9% increase insofar as this the area of contact crime, so which basically says that in the certain outlook of this country, there is a standing feature that's there, and that's the question of contact crime, and dominant injury is the question of murder, attempted murder, and as well as the issues of the assault and so on, which in themselves are reflective of the state of our society.
Sorry, Minister. We don't have that document. We have a different document.
We will arrange for that. It will be made available. Yeah, no, that's no problem.
But also to say that that document, this is the one I'm presenting, is an extrapolation of the main document that has been distributed. Many are available. Who looks like he's going to be here after this morning? Thank you. You didn't hear that. In the other category, of course, conduct-related crimes, which stands at 7%, but has also experienced a 1.9% increase, and that's the area of your arson, malicious damage to property, etc. And property-related crime has reduced by 0.8%, and currently stands at 30.8%, and that's your housebreaking, residential housebreaking, other premises, theft of motor vehicles and motorcycles, theft out and from motor vehicles and stock theft and so on. In the category of other state of crime, has experienced a decrease of about 2.2%, and the overall figure stands at 37.8%. Now, on the question of police detected serious crimes, which in a sense looks at the question of unlawful possession of firearms, ammunition, driving under the influence, drugs and alcohol, unlawful possession of and dealing in drugs, and so on. We have had an increase in the work of the police, in other words, in the performance of the police of about 16.6% in dealing with this particular category. Now, the overall performance outlook is such that we indicated earlier on that 83% of our population reported various crimes at our service points, in other words, police stations. And that led to in the channel of about 1.7 million persons, and 4,808 of those were arrested by DPCI. And we secured out of this number 1,043 life sentences imposed on 739 suspects, and 680 life sentences against on crimes against women and children as a result of the work of our FCS unit. 686 police were arrested for various crimes in 2014 and 2015. We also recovered 36,186 reported lost and or robbed vehicles. As police detected crime, that detected the rate detection of crime and pursuit of general our work, as was indicated earlier on, rose by 16.6% in the reporting period, and that resulted in the 350,576 arrests. However, looking into statistics, and I'm happy that the crime statistics report has been made available and distributed quite widely, we do need to continue to ask ourselves critical questions and engage with various issues as they are pointed out in the report that we have distributed. The one thing is that we continue to have violence as a feature of our social outlook as a South African society. And this is a critical point, because this point requires that we essentially need to mobilize all major satisfaction within our society to begin to tackle the issue of the prevalence of the violence within our communities. You will see that in the graphic presentation, for an example of how some of these countries actually graduate from one particular level to the next. For instance, to start off by a simple thing such as common assault, a slap in the face, but it can also graduate from a slap in the face into something else. But from there, it can also increase to a different level altogether, such as murder and so on. And particularly what I'm talking about, women in this country would know what actually what that is, because it tends to also be there within the families and so forth. And in essence, issue of contact crimes is a social phenomenon, and it's a matter that needs to be dealt with at a multidisciplinary level across society. And the point here, the honourable members of the committee, is that for an example to think that we can resolve the issue of men in our society, and I think that is the first that must resolve it, it's effectively just hallucination, in a sense, because it's a social problem. It's a problem that has got to be tackled at levels of family units, which are basic units of the composition of our society, for an example. The manner in which we school and culture and groom our children in terms of how to manage interpersonal relations and so forth becomes quite critical. So you require some effective social mobilization around this particular area. Now, particularly because you will see that if you were to connect a further study around the issue of the incidents such as men, you discover that it's an occurrence that it is actually the type of incidences that okay amongst people who know each other very well. Be it relatives, be it friends. If we go to a shilin for a drinking session, we begin to squabble over whether a friend of mine called Bele, for example, bought sufficient vodka as opposed to what I bought and things like that. The next thing was come, take out the knife, step in, he does. And things like that. Oh, the squabble of a girlfriend, and things like that. So you have you would have that as a feature of social, and therefore that's why I was saying, look, it's a social problem that has got to be taken from a societal angle from this. The best point that we want to make is that the causal link between the commission of crime and drug and alcohol abuse continues to standing a feature of driving up levels of crime, despite the fact that we confiscated 1.7 billion liters of alcohol in the year 2002. We also closed down the 37,979 unlicensed liquor premises and so forth. So despite the fact of the matter is that you have prevalence in our communities of drug and alcohol abuse, and there exists causal link between that and the rate of the criminal activity within communities. Again, you require a multidisciplinary approach in dealing with just that circumstance alone, and also even the mobilization of state agencies, resources, and different tiers of governance in our society, for us to begin to collaborate around the issue of the prevalence of taverns and alcohol and everything else. Now, what is encouraging, though, is that it is quite encouraging to note that the levels of police protection compared to last year is on the increase. Because that then talks to the efforts that ordinary members of the police service are putting in their work, for an example, to follow through on the cases. So that's quite encouraging. And of course, it's something that we do need to encourage for ourselves to do much more better than when we are at. We also note that there has been an increase in social unrest year on year, which suggests other pressure points and quite action. Now, You will see that in the report that we are presenting in the main report that we're presenting, basically, you realize that the question of the, you know, public products has been on the increase, and certainly 2014, 2015 has not been necessarily been an exception when it comes to that. But alongside that, it means new pressure points around the issue of policy, for example, and methods of policy in general speaking. But it is also a measure that should not just be seen purely as a policy measure. You know, because what do people protest about? They protest about in the lack of service delivery in certain instances, or perceived lack of service delivery in certain cases, or they want water, they want roads, and so forth, and therefore. And back on these kinds of actions. In other words, a solution to that problem is not a policy intervention per se. It's a different form of intervention that is required to deal with the ultimate point of satisfying the social issues. The trends for the past 10 and 5 years have shown a decrease, whereas in the year under review there has been an increase in certain categories of crime. Such as, unfortunately, we are giving on contact crimes of the same 0.9% and increased contact related crimes stands at 1.9% increase. For property related crimes stands at a 0.8% decrease. Other serious crimes, they stand at 2.2% decrease. So, in other words, we still experience a continued sort of over decrease in crimes against women and children in particular, but also having said so, we still do say that there is quite a lot that also needs to be done around the issue of sexual offences in our society. The fact that we are experiencing a decrease does not necessarily represent the eradication of the scourge of rape and violence against women and children, for example. But what it means is that the statistics are beginning to show, like they showed the last year, for example, the decrease, and there is still a further decrease on that. But still, we have got to deal with the problem of violence against women and children in our society. We're making an observation that there are still high levels of violence and aggression in our society, and of course, we should all be concerned about this particular tendency. The other point is that the socio-economic inequality also is a contributing factor to levels of crime in this country. The prevalence of crimes, regardless of the fact that in our society we continue to destroy illegal firearms and everything else in thousands for that matter, but we still have this particular problem. In certain quarters, you remember, honorable members, that at some point we all gathered here and had a summit, I think, with debating the issue of the firearms amendment bill at some point, but also the question generally of firearms controls in our society and so forth. A number of concerns that have been mentioned for a long time and continue to be mentioned around the question of firearm management in this country, including, of course, issues that have been raised with our central firearms register, for example. You will see that in the presentation that the National Commissioner will also be running, you will see that we also have the problem of the influence of undocumented immigrants in this country. And there are concentrated points around the country, for example, and they tend to be a relationship between those points of concentration, or those concentrated points, with a prevalence of certain types of crimes around those particular areas. We're also seeing the resurgence of tax-related violence. and a market for second-hand goods. Now, on the question of, generally speaking, once you would have consumed and interacted with the pattern of the crime statistics, always the logical question to answer is what is it that needs to be done? Now, in this instance, the National Development Plan basically guides us in the type of the approach elements that we have to take, amongst other things. But central to what the National Development Plan states is the question of the creation of partnerships at a national level to deal with the creation of conditions of safety and security for our communities. And we continue to advocate this particular approach. I think not only just for us as the police or government, broadly speaking, but I think generally for ourselves as society, I think we need to encourage this societal mobilization around the question of taking the incidences of crime and the conditions of the endemic creation of the conditions of peace and stability in our respective communities. And in this regard, we will continue to work and harness efforts and remain committed to building partnerships with business community, as well as the communities, generally speaking, in fighting crime and the eradication of criminality in our society. And in this instance, Chair, with your permission, I would then ask the National Commission to take us through the main report insofar as how we have performed in the year under review from a statistical point of view, and then we take it over from the university on the chair, on the members.
Thank you, Mr. For your input. Members, we will offer the National Commission's input the opportunity also to pose questions to the Honourable Minister and the Honourable Deputy Minister. National Commission, you're welcome to address the States.
Chairperson, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, and the members in the House, Honourable members in the House, as well as the stakeholders attending here today. Thank you for the opportunity for the police to present their statistics for 2014-2015. If I may be allowed, Chairperson, to follow on the footsteps of the Minister in terms of saying, as we announce today, we announce under the release certificate that has been issued by the Statistician General coming out of the Clearance Committee of the State SD. Chair, if I'm allowed, I will then request the Executive Manager of FSA from the National Statistical Division System representing the Statistician General, Mr. Paddy Water, to read the clearance certificate, if I am allowed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, Honourable Members and Justice. I'll be taking you through the Statistician General's remarks in the 2014-15 crime stats. The Statistician General is required by the Statistics Act No. 6 of 1999 to coordinate statistical production in the country beyond the confines of Statistics South Africa. In this respect, SSA has been working with the South African Police Service on improving the quality of crime statistics. The collaboration between these two institutions dates back to 2011, when the South African Police Service, in its quest to improve the quality of policing statistics, established a national crime statistics task team, and SSA is represented in the task team. One of the deliverables of the task team has been a draft policy on crime statistics, which will be finalized and implemented soon. The collaboration between the SAPS and ZSA has culminated in the two organizations entering into a memorandum of understanding in April 2015. The broad areas of collaboration as per this agreement include, amongst others, the provision of technical support to the South African Police Service in its production of policing data, supporting the SAPS in consolidating crime statistical definitions, counting rules to enable the production of data for quality statistics. In this regard, SPSA and the SAPS are in the process of forming a joint working party to implement projects for collaboration in the production of identified data and supporting the SAPS to monitor and focus trends in the country's crime statistics. As a consequence of the MOU, the Statistician General introduced a clearance process through which the quality of every crime statistic or publication will be ascertained. The Statistician General constituted the clearance committee to evaluate and authenticate the quality of crime statistics in line with the South African Statistical Quality Assessment Framework, but using the SAS guideline. The main focus of the assessment was on the processes of compiling the crime statistics using selected indicators within the following SAS dimensions: methodological soundness, accuracy, comparability and coherence, integrity, and timeliness. Three other measures have not as yet been tested through the SASCAF, which is relevance, accessibility, and interpretability. The assessment outcome indicated compliance of the SAS processes with most aspects of the selected SASCAF quality dimension. Challenges identified through assessment processes were such that SAPS could affect the necessary improvements without any major difficulty in their next publication. Once the suggested improvements have been implemented, the SAS data should undergo an independent SASCAP assessment. Given my assessment of the recommendations of the clearance committee for this publication, I endorse the 2014-15 crime stats publication and encourage its use by stakeholders. I thank you.
Thank you for that. Mr. Commissioner, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson, let me move to slide one. Again, for purposes of working as your report, deal with issues of our reporting approach. In that slide one, Chairperson, I want to again indicate that we follow a longitudinal approach in evaluating our statistical performance, a 10-year period, 5-year performance, and the in-year performance, therefore talking about the 10-5-month formation. We also, Chairperson, focus on the broad crime categories. And in that regard, Chairperson, we are talking about four major crimes, four major categories: contact crimes, contact-related crime, property-related crime, other serious crime. Within those, Chairperson, we have 70 subcategories upon which we are reporting. Then we also focus, Chairperson, on crimes dependent on police action for detection. Within those, Chairperson, we have four subcategories that we are reporting upon. I would like to report that in those subcategories, previously we had three. We have, as we report in this crimes, Chairperson, under sexual offences, called out those offences, sexual offences that are as a result of, that are dependent on police action, such as prostitution, such as pornography,
at those type of aspects. So that is why we are having four, so we are reporting on 21 major subcategories. The 70 chairperson, as we go to three, community reported serious crimes. This means that these are the crimes where members walk into the station to come and report the crime. Those, as the minister has indicated, accounted for 83.4% of the statistics that we're reporting today. And that leads to 1,795,947 charges that were reported. 1.7 million charges that were reported upon, as reflected the apologies for that. The second aspect, Chairperson, relates to four police detected serious crimes. As you can see, where somebody was there who is at a roadblock, or you go out and search at police, those are counted, Chairperson, for 16.6%, or in terms of the charges, we are talking about 356,919 charges that we're reporting upon for this current year. On slide 4, Chairperson, we're dealing with the percentage contribution per broad category of the 17 community reported crimes. If we look at those 17 reported community crimes and the four broad categories, contact crimes contributed 34.4%. And contact-related crimes contributed 7%. If you aggregate those two Chairperson, it is very clear that 41.4% of the crimes that we are reporting today come from contact crimes. And as the minister has indicated, those are called acquaintance crimes, those are crimes between members of society, and those are crimes that we arrest as police after the fact. We'll talk a little bit to some of the contributors and drivers of those crimes. Property-related crimes, Chairperson, contributed 30.8%, and subsequently other serious crimes contributed 27.8% towards the 17 categories that were reported. And we continue, Chairperson, with the reporting background. We again refer to our constitutional remit, Section 253 of the Constitution, which defines and gives us the remedy in terms of our duty and roles as police. We also, Chairperson, on slide 5, touch on outcome 3, for which we are also a primary contributor as police, which requires that all people in South Africa are and feel safe. And when we look at how we account for this outcome, Chairperson, firstly, we look at the RPAC. The RPAC report, we account for that by reporting reduced levels of serious crimes. And for that, we use our crime statistics report, which is what we're doing today. But we also recognize, Chairperson, that you can tell people about numbers. There are issues of perceptions. There are issues of hearts, experiences, and minds of the community in terms of their views about crime. And in this regard, Chairperson, we're developing solid tools. We should refer to you, Chairperson, and the House, to the concluded citizen-based monitoring mechanism pilot phase by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, and it looks successful, and we are looking at working with them to roll it out to nationally. Secondly, Chairperson, we're working with GCIS, where they go to the various departments to check the satisfaction by communities. We package aided by them particular questions that are monitored by their tracker surveys to check how people are feeling about the services of various departments as included, so we would have our dedicated and personalized tracker tool that is being used to assess how people feel about policing services. The third area, Chairperson, that we are using to deal with the issue of how the police perceive our services is a victims of crime survey, which is now established, which is being run by SA. We highlight some of the findings in the report that we're presenting to you here today, Chairperson. So we continue with the background. against which you are reporting the crime statistics chairperson. Let me deal with issues related to the methodology we are using to deal with this sense. We use first and foremost chairperson police recorded crime statistics that are derived from administrative data collection processes, starting by recording a docket and registering the information on the case administrative system. That is the primary basis that we use to start recording and calculating our state. All crime chairperson are recorded as and when they are brought to their attention or are detected by police, irrespective of when those crimes are committed. Each of the reported crimes are allocated a crime code, which are then aggregated into daily summary of serious crime, the DSSC code. The DSSC codes are used for reporting on crime statistics. The current reporting statistics have been revised over a period of 10 years to exclude unfounded cases. This was also discussed with ZSA, and unfounded cases, if I may give an example, chairperson, talk to a person walking into our CFC reporting that their stock had been stolen. 2 days or 3 days later, they then realized that the cattle were astray, they were grazing in an isolated area, and come back and report. They've recovered their cattle, so the case is normal, so the case is unfounded. So the statistics that we are having through a 10-year period excluded this unfounded case. In terms of the crime counting rules, chairperson, the source for recording is a docket. But we're not using a docket to count, we're using the charges to count. So one docket may have more than one charge. One docket may contain more charges, as I've indicated. The statistics provided represent the number of charges and not the number of dockets. A case where multiple offences are committed within the same scenario, each offence will be recorded in addition to the primary offence. On slide 7, we continue with the crime counting rules. We emphasize, Chairperson, that regardless of the manner in which the dockets are closed, whether they are withdrawn by the complainant or they are withdrawn by the court or they are withdrawn as undetected, the recorded crimes will still form part of the crime statistics. We have noted in this regard, Chairperson, some reports last week after the visit by the Portfolio Committee to Fish Day about 7,000 dockets. We want to say those dockets, Chairperson, are under this counting principle, they will remain in our statistics and will account on them. The only excluded files here would be the unfounded, and they are well documented and statistics is sitting in the steps that we are releasing. For the current reporting period, as indicated already, Chairperson, sexual offences detected as a result of police action have been reclassified under crimes detected as a result of police action, and this is why those increased from 3 to 4. We account for them on this statistics. The issue of crime statistics management policy, the Minister has adequately referred to that. We indicate that we are almost in final stages of the development of our crime statistics policy, and we are aided and supported as FSA. The memorandum of understanding has been referred to. The current statistics, as we've indicated, have undergone a clearance, and our journey continues to happen, because our view is that crime stats are so crucial. We need to graduate them from being a national statistics towards being an official statistics, such as some of the key indicators, whether it's the GDP and others. So that journey we're working on with crime and with STEPSA under the statistical quality assessment framework, and other the respective legislation of the SA to assist us to develop these statistics into legislation. We continue internally with our client quality management to enhance the current quality chairperson. We are developing quality assurance that will be done on a daily and a monthly basis within the station, but we will then again aggregate that and ensure that there is, on a quarterly basis, such is done to ensure that our collation of information is reliable and that our comprehensive crime statistics become, you know, the quality that we're desiring to have. Furthermore, the Bureau's committee, in accordance with the memorandum of understanding between SAFSA and SRAPS, will assess the quality of our crime space each year before the release could take place at issue release certificate. Chair, on the reporting background, we also want to underscore the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are that indeed there is a need for peaceful surroundings to avoid escalations to unnecessary crime. And these peaceful surroundings are found in our families, are found in our community surroundings, are found in our social institutions, our schools, and many other areas, Chairperson. If there is an effort by society and all of us as members of society to ensure those peaceful surroundings, this escalation and the domino effect that the minister has referred to would greatly reduce. Because the common assault of today is an assault TBH of tomorrow. An assault TBH of tomorrow is an attempted murder of tomorrow. An attempted murder of tomorrow of today is murder of tomorrow. The escalation continues, and the hand is ours as citizens to ensure that we contain the type of development and exaggeration of the crime. As part of our reporting background, Chairperson, there are many drivers for crime, but we've identified some of the areas that have been observed as significantly impacting on the crime space that was reported. And we also realized that some of these drivers, Chairperson, yes, we do pay a role as police, but a significant part of that we are not primarily responsible for, and we need to join hands with those that are primarily responsible for those type of areas to ensure that we again use that partnership or working together as a way of reducing the crime. We identified taxi violence as one of those drivers, and when we looked into what we find as part of the drivers of those violent crimes that are emanating from the driver chairs, route disputes, licenses, leadership contestations, issues around DRT, ART, control of new rents. The municipality would build a new rank, and they, instead of using their bylaws to manage it, they leave it to the hands of the associations that start hobbling about who is responsible for that rank, who controls it. Newly developed commercial prisons, inadequate bylaw enforcement by municipalities, and indeed, we feel that those type of issues are not areas we are primarily responsible for, but if unattended, the Chairperson, they definitely lead to crime that we then have to manage as police. We also believe that in that area, some work could be done around optimizing the regulatory framework, because if it is optimized and there is better regulation, we may find that the type of taxi violence issues are reduced, and the crimes that are related to this are also then, you know, positively impacted. We also noted at the same that drug circulation also contributed quite significantly to some of the crimes that were mentioned for this year. And to that we are saying again, you know, there is a drug master plan that has been adopted by government, and all of us as various departments have to contribute our own part towards the drug master plan. And we believe that more needs to be done for all of us as various departments and provinces and municipalities to ensure that we coordinate, we contribute optimally our participation in that, and that would assist us to reduce a lot. And we want to say, in the drug space, police offer some assistance, but we would want to argue, Chairperson, that it's non-sustainable, it's reactive, it's at the end of the game. So by the time we come in, a lot has happened, and we are downstream, and we may arrest, but that may not be the best of what could be offered. The best of what could be offered maybe could be at the school level where we participate with the Department of Education to educate, to tell our children about the dangers of crime so that prevention does take place. So our social crime prevention, together with the work that is done by education in terms of the skills development for children, we may find a lot happening there. The concept of confiscation, manufacturing, factories and imports, we used to finding ourselves no longer just as a transit country. We used to see ourselves as a transit drug country, but now we are both a consumer, we are a manufacturer, we are a consumer, we are a transit state, and the numbers of confiscation of drugs that we have will show exactly that. I want to indicate, Chairperson, that in 2014 alone, 237 South Africans were arrested elsewhere in the world as drug mules. And from Interpol, it was reported that 300 drug couriers en route to South Africa were arrested by Interpol. So we are starting to show the impact of the global interaction in those three dimensions to say we're both a consumer, we're a consumer, we're a transit state, we're a manufacturer. You see some of the factories that we've closed as we go on. The other driver changes that we noted was the proliferation of firearms. Some official firearms we note that are not accounted for in some of the state institutions. Prevalent corruption contributing to crime. Firearms across, that comes from across the border. Non-integrated accounting systems with the central firearm system and other port of entry related systems of recording firearms. Ineffective regulation of sporting firearm licensing, knowing that some of those environments have restricted imports in terms of firearms. So those are areas that we need to be looking into. The temporary firearm permit system to integrate, we issue some, the court issues some, so those are areas we need to look into and ensure that we integrate our legislation around this type of issues. Ownership of large volumes of firearms by the private security, we know that that's another area that needs to be looked into, perhaps tightening the regulation or optimizing regulation in that area. No clear picture in terms of baseline against which we confiscate firearms. You see the numbers that we are talking about. In the previous year, we confiscated, we destroyed 14,000. Already this year, we've destroyed 9,000. But we don't have a baseline that tells us to say what baseline are we weighing against. So there's volumes and volumes of firearms that we're talking about. Other rules, such as firearms experts who are holding, large amounts of firearms, forensic experts, analysis. All those are regulated arcaches that they are having because of the special requirements that they are having. Just an interpretation to accentuate the issue of firearms. There are currently 5.3 million official firearms obtained in terms of the Firearms Ammunition Act. And if you look at, there are also 4.4 million firearms in terms of the Firearms Control Act. And you're talking a cool 10 million closely of firearms that are circulating in the country. A lot of firearms, Jefferson. These are accounted for by owners, 2.4 million owners, roughly, own those firearms, Jefferson, according to the report that we're having. That's a lot of firearms, Jefferson. These figures include 61,000 naturalized foreigners, foreign nationals who are in possession of 90,000 firearms, as indicated in slide 12. Regardless, over the past three financial years, Chairperson, alone, we have issued 296,315 individual and business firearms licenses. We have destroyed 108,257 firearms in the past 3 years alone. And again, and I meant to say that we do not have a baseline to say we're collecting how many illegal firearms, but
quite a lot that were also destroying. Over the past 3 years, dedicated hunters, sports shooters, have applied for 95,000 rifles and 22,000 shotguns, and those have not been surrendered, they are still having them. There is no limit to the firearms that is imported into the country, including monitoring the movement of temporary permit holders. So security service providers who close shops do not declare their status. We are mentioning all those chairpersons to show you that this whole issue of proliferation of firearms for us is another crucial trend of the current state that we are reporting today. On slide 13, chairperson, on the reporting background, by showing investment, the distribution of foreign-born population that do not have South African citizenship as per the census of 2011. The ratio shows the concentration of those foreign nationals. We show the legend there shows that. But if you just look at that map, it tells you a story to start saying, when you look at the statistical performance, the current performance of Limpopo, of Gauteng, of Mpumalanga, in fact, the Western Cape, maybe a little bit some of the areas in KwaZulu-Natal, you understand the pressures of policy that we face, because over and above the 54 million that the minister spoke about, we then have to also add factor into the redistribution that you are seeing in this regard. And we have also noted that it's not only impacting us as police. When we were presented to the cabinet, other ministers, such as health and education, were also acknowledging the fact that there is an impact of this distribution on rural services of the community. We also show in slide 14, Chairperson, that we've used a very limited sample of the subscribe intelligence to track foreign nationals from 30 countries that have contributed to various types of crime. We also included the Nigerians, the Zimbabweans, Mozambicans, Somalians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Ethiopians, Asutus, Congolese, Tanzanians, Bulgarians, Malawians, and Chinese nationals. I recognize on some of the foreign nationals involved in criminal activities, which indicate that, for instance, GPCI showed that they arrested some 486 for serious criminal offenses. If we just take, for instance, an operation such as PM, the numbers that we're showing here, the 19 uncharged, the 682 awaiting trial prior to completion, the 835 awaiting trial with no prior completion, these are people that we would normally just have deported. But because of Operation Fiera, we took their fingers and were able to match them with fingerprints because they are undocumented. So it only shows that there are other drivers that we need to be looking into as we do our crime. On slide 15, chapter 10, we talk about, we work with the FIC. We just look at some of the flow of illegal flow of finances. What the FIC report has shown in the previous reporting year is that a total of 10.8 billion was illegally transferred out of the country, which is a lot of money. And 2.1 billion came into the country from those various whatever, and it was classified by some of those countries and all that. So that bothers us, and we are saying in adequate management of the asylum seekers conflict zone need to be looked into, in adequate management of internal migration by responsible environment need to be looked into, in adequate management of businesses and other municipal bylaws, because what we have noted is that a lot of the small businesses are illegal, they're trading with a lot of money, there is a very strong hawala system, for instance, in the Western Cape that's taking place. Money doesn't get to banks, but money that flows in and out of the country. So all those issues, Chairperson, have their own contributions. Granting of bail to foreign nationals who do not have proper identification, so they are unable to resolve some of the crimes, because then they can just leave and leave the crime that, that they've committed here. The absence of adequate integrated foreign national fingerprint database at entry level of port, against which fingerprints leaflets at crime scenes could be linked. Those are some of the weaknesses we've seen.
I'll keep slide 17, then it says address day. The last item, Chairperson, that I wish to highlight to this meeting relates to police checks and matters. If you look at that graph, Chairperson, the blue area shows you the number of attacks that are dealt with by police. And you can see that they are escalating, Chairperson. The red areas show you the matters that are arising and the fatalities that are arising as a result of those. But with that, I just want to indicate, Chairperson, that if we look at those 1,537 attacks that are indicated there, I want to say, Chairperson, we are mindful of the fact that there is quite a significant observation in terms of effective pushback by police. If indeed we did not have good training and good defense interventions, we would have been seeing more fatalities in terms of the numbers that we have shown there. I also want to link some of these to the report that IP gave last year around issues of reduced police brutality. If you look at those numbers and you look at some of the figures that were starting to be, that's a concern. But losing those numbers of police chairperson is a very serious concern, because our investment in terms of training, our investment in terms of experience is huge. So we write off a lot in terms of those 86, 77 and 84. But we are working hard, Chairperson, to continue to bring that down. In slide 19, Chairperson, we show how that or how those attacks play out in terms of provinces. And clearly you can see that the Western Cape is having the most of attacks. And we rely quite a lot in terms of the support that provincial government give to policing and work together with police to ensure that the messaging, the engagement of communities, is tackled. We also see case that NNA is showing quite a strong show in terms of attacks. The red aspect shows the fatalities. And indeed, you can see it, Western Cape in the year that we are reporting were high, housing was a little bit low, but housing seems to be picking up in the current year. And Eastern Cape and KZN also showed some significant and concerning numbers in terms of fatalities. Chairperson, I then move on to deal with issues of unrest and peaceful related incidents in terms of community protests. In slide 20, Chairperson, it shows that in the EEA, clearly there's an increase of those incidences. You can see that we have a combined average of close to 14,000 plus peaceful and violent protests. We've seen a growth from 1,907 violent protests to 2,289 violent protests. And I want to indicate, Chairperson, that those two are major contributors to the statistics that we're reporting. Because out of those, you have assault GBA, you have serious damage to property. So the numbers that we're talking about are also emanating from that. But above all, it's a core business diversion platform, because we take police and put them into this because, and then normal policing somehow suffers because they have to manage this public budget. And again, the earlier assertion that we made say, what are the root causes of this? So if those such projects can be dealt with earlier and can be mitigated in time, we will see a reduction and have more police to do normal policing. And slide 21, Chairperson, we then show how those public order incidences have happened. When we talk about stabilization, we're talking about our intervention and managing to get the situation calm, not that the protests have stabilized. As you can see there, Chairperson, that's the reflection that is coming from the community in terms of what is happening on those areas. On slide 22, Chairperson, we'd like to start talking about some of the steps that we picked up from the Victims of Crime Survey from them, where we talk about prevent crime and crime most feared by communities. In terms of their research that they've run, they indicate that the housebreaking tops the list in terms of crimes that are most feared by society, followed by home robbery, street robbery, pickpocketing and bank snatching, assault, sexual assault, murder, and business robbery. And if you look at those terrorists, most of them, if we were to count them, are fitting more in the 17 crimes that we've indicated, and there's quite a significant show of the contract crime there. On slide 23, we also uplifted from their study access to policing. They are saying 56% of citizens, you know, take less than 30 minutes to get to the nearest station. 27% take almost an hour, and probably an hour plus. 6% close to 2 hours, and 1% need definitely more than 2 hours. So it's an area that they were using to look at the, you know, making of our police stations and how we need to deal with going on. On slide 24, Chairperson, the overall satisfaction levels that were noted by ZSA in the previous year, victims of crime, we police the percentage of households who indicated that they were satisfied with police in their area was 59%. In the previous year, it was 60%. We know to check the same, we appreciate the feedback, we believe that there's still more work to be done to ensure that we increase those levels of satisfaction. On slide 25%, we then show the area that informs that satisfaction. And the top of it is that police do come to the crime scene to come and police and collect statements and do those type of things. They communicate that police are committed. They talk about police arresting criminals, the sense of trustworthiness. Time, we need to also note and respond on and improve, recover stolen property and others. So those are the figures that we lifted from the victims of crime survey. On slide 26, Chairperson, I then get into the actual crime statistics that were presented before you. And we start by presenting the overall longitudinal highlights on all those broad categories that we have indicated. The minister has also touched on those contract crimes. You see now the 10, the 5, and the 1. And if you look at that, the decrease in terms of contract crime continues, you know, 17.9 over 10 years. For the 5 years, we recorded at 2.6. In the current in-year, we've seen a slight increase of 0.9%, or read otherwise, 5,384 more counts were reported this year than the previous year. In terms of contract-related crimes, for 10 years, you know, the 10 years used, it shows a 15.6% decrease, the 5 years at 2.1%, and then for the current year, we see a slight increase of 1.9%, or, read differently, 2,291 more reported counts on contract-related crimes. And again, that again shows that that area remains very stable and requires our anti-budget and even more focused attention beyond policy, but ensure that we focus on some of the issues that the minister mentioned. To say those are social related aspects that require that we intervene creatively and innovatively and see how we can deal with stubborn area. Property related crimes, Jefferson, as an area, decreased by 2.3% over 10 years. In 5 years, it increased by 4.6%. In the current year, Jefferson, we have a decrease of 0.8%. Or, read otherwise, we have 3,980,000 less reported counts than we had in the previous year. Regarding other serious crimes, Jefferson, 10 years we have an 8.1% decrease, in 5 years 5.3%, and the current year again 10% we have a decrease of 2.2%, or red otherwise we have 11,491 less reported counts than we did the other year. Just to highlight some of the key operational successes, the minister touched on those. It is important to report that in the year that we are reporting, the police arrested 1.7 million persons through crime prevention related activities. And we break it down to say a million was for serious crimes, 491,548 for less serious crimes, and 141,397 for 94 other crimes. In addition to the arrests, we report, Chairperson, that 4,808 were arrested by our UDPCR. And the last sentences the minister has indicated, the last sentences that were secured, and also the fact that we, you know, 780 of those life sentences were for crimes against women and children. Whilst we celebrate and recognize this, we still believe that's an area that continues to require our attention as the police. Police criminality is yet another driver, Chairperson, so we're not taking our foot off the pedal in terms of that one. We actively track that, Chairperson, and we thank also IPIC for working with us in this area. As police, we have arrested 686 police for various types of crimes that were committed by the police. We've recovered cattle, 36,186 that were reported as lost. On slide 28, we show the drugs that we have confiscated. And we are many Jefferson, but let's want just to highlight that if you look at cannabis and you look at guava and you look at niaupe, you start realizing that the local use of drugs is growing. And it is a little bit more complex area to police. And that's an area that requires more crime prevention, participation of the churches, participation of the schools, so that we can educate young users of this drug to actually self-control and not get involved. We, 57 Henderson drug laboratories were dismantled, of which 31 were hydroponic laboratories, 26 were other synthetic chemical laboratories. We closed 37,900 unlicensed illegal liquor premises. But here I want to underscore the fact that we confiscated 1.5 billion liters of liquor. Not that was consumed, but that which we confiscated. So if you start thinking of what was consumed and what else that does to our crime space, it's mind-boggling. Chairperson, let me move on to the 17 community reported serious crimes. On slide 30, Chairperson, again, as the Minister has indicated, we show that the 17 community reported crimes continue to decline over a 10-year period, from a high of 2 million charges in 2005 and 2006 to 1.7 million charges, a 10.6% change over the 10-year period. In the current reporting period, Chairperson, the current community reported serious crime decreased by 0.4%. This follows another 0.4% decrease that we had in the previous financial year. So we are grateful, Chair, that overall the trend is still going down. On slide 31, Chairperson, what we then try to do is to deal with the four categories and to show how they've performed. The solid red and the solid green are for the previous year. The striped red and the striped green are for the current year for purposes of working with me. When you see those dotted circles, we're showing where we have had an upward trend. We're looking at the four broad categories making up the 70 community reported crimes, it is evident that contact and contact-related crimes continue to be 7%, with contact crimes increasing from 0.5% change when comparing to 2012-13 to 2013-14, the broad category increased to 0.9%. A similar trend is being observed, Chairperson, when we talk about contact-related crimes, as is indicated on that slide. However, the increasing trend, we can see that there is a decrease in terms of poverty-related crimes as well as other serious crimes. These categories continue to decrease over the comparison period from a 0% change to a negative 0.8%, as you see, Chairperson, the poverty-related crimes. I then move to the issue relating to the contact crimes that affect Chairperson. Maybe let me close off by saying they jointly contribute 41.4% of the charges that we are having. And it's a serious observation, Chairperson, and in support of what the Minister says today, it is necessary to look at the nature of a violent society that we are policing. And then, Chairperson, to the contract crimes. Overall, in terms of contract crimes, Chairperson, contract crimes decreased over 10 years by 17.8% from a high of 750,397 charges to the current 616,973 charges, followed by a 2.6% decrease over a 5-year period. However, in the current year, Chairperson, contract crimes have increased by 0.9%. In slide 34, Chairperson, we then now look at the various aspects of the contract crimes. First, we look at murder. Murder decreased from 5.0 between 2012 and 2013 and 2013 and 14 to a 4.6% change between in 14 and 15. The total sexual offense continued their decline. Attempted murder, Jefferson, decreased from 4.6% to 3.2% change in 14 and 15. Assault GVH, on the other hand, where it was down 1.5%, it has increased by 0.1% in 14 and 15. Common assaults continue to decline, Chairperson, as indicated on the board there, by 2.8%. Common robbery increased from 0.6% in the previous financial year. In 14-15, it grew to 2.7. Robbery aggravating had a total increase the previous year of 12.8%. It has come down 8.5%. On slide 35, we show how the provinces have performed. Four of the nine provinces recorded decreases in contract crimes in 14-15, and these were Free State, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape. The remaining five provinces did not have a positive performance in the state.
So, as Commissioner, Free State is the best performer of nine provinces?
Yes.
Deputy Minister, well done.
Thank you. Chairperson, the overview on this contract crimes, maybe I should just share some of this. It is notable that in particular, these contract crimes are concentrated in some areas of the provinces, with about 30 prisons in Gauteng, recording something like 44.4% of all contract crimes in the period under review. It was further noted that the cases were not only concentrated in certain prisons, but then often also in specific areas within the prisons, you know, areas such as Soweto, Hillbrook, Panichu, Kembisa, Mamelodi East. Those are some of the prisons in Gauteng when we do the analysis that we're looking into. And this kind of trans Chairperson tend to occur as we were analyzing frequently over weekends and mostly during dark hours. when people tend to socialize or to be on their way from their social activities, which also includes consumption of alcohol or even drugs. A seasonal spark is also usually evident over the peak holiday period or during the festive season. And a case in point is an analysis we made in KZN. During the present reporting period, we found that about 61% of the murders occurred over weekends and 40% between 6 p.m. and 12 p.m. And it is also disturbing to note that on average, they are called something like 11 murders per day. But 55 murders were recorded on Christmas Day, and 54 murders were recorded on New Year's Day in KZN. So it shows also that seasonal spike and peak, and to say some of those things are happening. A very large proportion of the contact crimes involve victims and perpetrators that are known to one another and are frequently linked to arguments among such people. The perpetrators in most cases are young males, mainly in their 20s and 30s. Unemployment, apprentice crime seem to be very strong in this area. So those are some of the issues that our analysis, reflect in terms of that. And some of the cases are related to domestic violence. The Deputy Minister raised this morning to say it's one of the areas that we need to be looking into and maybe tracking to see how many we're talking about. And a large chairperson happens in the privacy of homes, where there isn't direct policing. So it's a very, very difficult area. We've mentioned issues that further contribute transport-related conflicts. And, in Kwazulu-Natal, for instance, in 2014-15, there were 70 confrontations which were ongoing, involving 29 different taxi associations. And out of those, 86 people were killed in the 2014-15 financial year that we are reporting on. So we show some of those drivers to say they are quite difficult for us to look into. We look at gangsters in a number of provinces, but nowhere more than the traditional heartland of this phenomenon, which is the Western Cape, where 88.8% of the murders recorded in Fulani precinct during the financial year under review could be linked to gangs. So those are some of the analysis that we're picking up as we go on this one. And I think of great concern for us is the innocent bystanders that were killed and wounded by gangsters in this province. It is apparently also increasing in the Western Cape, and it accounted for something like 28.5% of the murders and attempted murders and victims in the province. So those are issues that the analysis that we get from the provinces. We also talk about vigilantism, which also talks to because crowds are frequently involved as perpetrators, it is difficult for us to also arrest some of those perpetrators. They are in crowds, they are uncooperative, they do that under pretext of crime prevention. But we would like to argue that there is lawlessness and there is no respect for the law, and those are some of the issues that we need to look into. We mentioned other contributors such as illegal dining. The Zamazamas in housing are really contributing a lot towards the measures that are being managed in housing. And when we looked at another disturbing trend line that came out of housing chapters and when dealing with issues of murder, for instance, the analysis in housing provincial office, it was discovered that children aged between 10 and 17 years committed 49 murders, and youth suspects arrested aged between 18 and 35 committed 884 murders, 24% of the total murders in the provincial year. So I was just touching on those chapters to show some of the challenges that they were having there. On slide 38, chapters, we deal with contract-related crimes. Arson continues to go down. The malicious damage, police injury to property, showed an increase of 2.3%. And in terms of contact-related crime, those slight declines showed how the provinces have performed in Jefferson. And indeed, when we look at the contact-related crime increased in 6 provinces, and only 9, only 3 had an increase per person, as indicated. The property-related crime per person, we go to slide 41. The comparison of the incidence of property-related crimes shows a decrease of 2.3% over the past 10 years, and a further increase over the past 5 years. In the current financial year, Jefferson, we saw a decrease of 0.8%. And on slide 42, we now show the subcategories of property-related crimes per person. Burglary at non-residential premises increased from just almost zero last year, and this increased to a 1.2% change in 2014-15. Burglary residential, we've seen a decrease, a continued decrease in that area of 2.3% per person. Theft of motor vehicles and motorcycles, it continued to decrease, and we saw a 2.7% decrease in that area. Theft out of motor vehicle, we see it was in the previous year 3.5, and then we see a percent positive. We take decrease in the positive to 1.1% share for them. Stock theft has gone up. It has done well the previous year. It has gone up to 1.8%, and in that regard, we are again working very closely with the Consumers Council and others to ensure that again change that and can be linked to issues of unemployment, where people are desperate to get out things, you know, to be involved in those type of things. In slide 43, Jefferson, we then show how the province is performed in terms of property related crimes. And indeed, increase according in 6 of the provinces, and only 3 provinces, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, State, Western Cape, and Gauteng, 4 of them show a decrease in percent. Slide 45, we then deal with other serious crimes. We again continue to see continued decline in that area, Jefferson, overall a 2.2% decrease for the reporting period. And in slide 47, we then look at the subcategories in that area. Other theft, Jefferson, has decreased, as we can see there. And commercial crimes continue on their decline, Jefferson, as well as the shoplifting showing some increase there, Jefferson. Slide 37, only 3 provinces recorded increases in terms of other serious crimes. The others have managed to record overall decreases. On slide 49, Jefferson, we then deal with crimes detected as a result of police action. Those Jefferson should increase, not decrease. So overall, we see the increasing trend continuing. We see an increase overall of 1.9%. On slide 50, we then dismember and show the various performance of the subcategories. Illegal possession of firearms, we believe that more should still be done given the progress that we have reached. It is down by 1.6%. It's not the direction it should take. It should take, you know, a direction that is looking up on the screen. The drug-related crimes, whereas we still have an increase there, we believe that that increase has to be grown. And but as I said, the increase of those mongers and the dakas and the neopets, we need to find innovative strategies to get into that space. Jefferson, driving under the influence of alcohol, we are not sure whether there is a better response to the awareness campaigns of the Department of Transport as well as our crime prevention, we seem not to be arresting more of the alcohol users who are still using their cars. Sexual offences detected by police action also showed an increase, which is a direction that we're looking for. On slide 61, Chairperson, we show that all others have increases, but for Gauteng. So I think they need to pick up their source because that's where the center of all these things are happening. In conclusion, Chairperson, if we look at slide 53 and look at the aggregate performance of the provinces, the top performing provinces are Free State, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, with Free State leading. And we're saying the average performance there is anything between 60 and 80% of performance if we take everything into account. The medium performing provinces were Northern Cape, Northwest, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng, and with an aggregate of 40% to 60% performance overall. And the low performing provinces were Western Cape and Limpopo, and that is 40% and below. So if we take the aggregate performance that we've been sharing, this is how we would classify the provinces, and Free State would be leading in this area. Our concluding, the national chairperson would also be a media performer when we aggregate all those to look at how does it work out in terms of the national. So chairperson, to conclude, contract crimes remain stubborn in this financial year. It should be noted that contract crimes are policed after the fact, and we require partnership and participation of the community in terms of it. Furthermore, chairperson, reflecting on an increase in the degree of violence in our community, particularly with reference to violent protests indicated earlier, it is evident that there is a broad normalization of violence in our communities, and quantity of media coverage on crime may have direct influence or be further penetration of some of the crimes because we have copycats and others. Peer pressure among the youth is also a driver of these crimes. Municipalities, chairperson, are a critical role player in supporting policing efforts. In general, and in particular with regards to matters relating to contract crimes, it is necessary that municipalities and provinces standardize areas such as the Liquor Act, because it will assist us in terms of the standardization of liquor trading. It will help us also to look into consumptions of which are other significant drivers of crime. Enforcement of bylaws, traffic laws, Secondhand Goods Act, and any other related laws is an important factor to be focused upon by municipalities. We are interested that moral regeneration programs are crucial. There is a noticeable void in the role played by traditional custodians of the moral fiber of society, such as the home, the family, the church, the schools, various other social formations. The CBOs, the NGOs, would believe that they have a very crucial role in adding to the beginning of fighting crime in the country. The proliferation of firearms continues to be a notable driver of criminality. Multi-pronged interventions by police result in substantial collection and destruction of thousands of illegal firearms. However, the availability and supply remains insufficient. Part of the solution lies in the rehabilitation and strengthening of the Firearms Control Act, a process which has been commenced by the Ministry of Police, Chairperson. Tightening border management is yet another observed area of focus in the effort of managing crime. A careful analysis of the sub-business intelligence reflects some increase in the crimes committed by some of the undocumented foreign nationals. And controlled migration is necessary to assist in curbing crime. Criminality, corruption, and other unethical practices by law enforcement agencies contribute towards driving up crime. a dedicated focus by the employer's oversight agencies such as IPEACH, the Inspector General, Civilian Secretariat, and others should, through their interventions, contribute towards repression of such negative conduct and behavior to positively contribute towards crime reduction. We, too, as the administration, will ensure that we support their efforts through very strong, enhanced internal disciplinary processes and enforcement of the code of conduct that we all sign as the police. All levels of government to ensure that there is any intervention to mitigate issues relating to service delivery and other community-related grievances. This should be attended to before they escalate to violent protests that result in opportunistic criminality. Policing this area results in significant core business dilution, requiring the staff to redirect policing resources to the protests due to sustained intense prolonged nature of this. Collaboration with the Southern African Regional Police Chiefs, Cooperation SAFCO, the Interpol, the AfriPol is quite crucial to deal with transnational crime. Environmental crimes are also given attention. Our support for the departments that are ensuring that our environment is protected remains focused. The bigger nature of criminals in our society results in significant numbers of police murders. This not only impacts our establishment, but also a loss of investment in terms of skills and experience. Crime against women and children chairperson remain a priority for government and for the staff. In this regard, I can safely say we have a good story to tell, as various efforts that we make towards reducing these crimes are beginning to pay dividends. In this regard, I can highlight the continued decrease in the overall crimes against children, as the total number of reported charges fell at 51.31% when compared to 2013-14. Let me mention a few subjects of this crime. Men increased by 47.86% in relation to this. Social sexual offenses decreased by 52.62% in relation to this. Assault with age decreased by 50.14% and common assault by 50.05%. But Chairperson, this is never something that we are going to remove our pedal, our foot from the pedal. The accelerator continues, Chairperson. It's a crucial area. The overall conviction rate of this crime has progressively increased by 0.9% from 75.1% to 76.1% in the 14-15 financial year. We've also realized a 51.2% decrease in the overall crimes against women during this period, when mentioning are the following. Murder reflected a decrease of 53.8%, with total sexual offenses reflected a decrease of 52.6%, and common assault a decrease of 51.3%. Overall conviction rate increased by 0.2 from 82.5% in 1340 to 82.7 in 1450, with total sexual offenses reflecting the highest increase of 4.8%. When all is said and done, Chairperson, crime statistics, as the Minister mentioned, really are something that requires all of us as society to work on, and indeed we remain committed. Our hands are on deck as police. We continue to work hard. The challenges are very Chairperson, and through the support of everyone and the feedback, critical and otherwise, we shall continue to work hard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Thank you for the presentation. Honourable members, there is tea available outside, but we're not going to break for tea. We're going to go to questions immediately. So members are welcome during the process to get some tea or whatever investments, but we're going to continue. After the first two questions, then we go to Honourable Mulabasi. Two questions per minute, but also have a second round, yes. My first question is to the Honourable Minister. Minister, we've seen a slight increase in the issue of serious crimes as well as contact crimes. Now, I think looking at SAPS, and I think you gave a very good presentation on the turnaround strategy in this committee, Your instance also indicated that there would be either tasking that would be led by the Deputy Minister, also organizational structure review, also looking at leadership review and assessment process, but also looking at the priorities in terms of the geographical area, the consequently differentiated SAPS action and the sources deployment. The question is, right, you've got now the figures for that financial year. We know those provinces are not really dealing effectively with crime tendencies. Can we expect from that policy to look in the medium short term, to the immediate shifting of resources to those areas where there are currently a continuum of crime tendencies, especially with regard to contract crime, as well as the issue of serious crime? So, in terms of the relocation of units, deployment of resources, how can we make an effort in terms of the work of the tasking to deal with it? The second issue is also the realignment of SAPS internally. Just to give you an example, one of the issues raised by the National Commission in the presentation is the question of bail. Now, in our visit last week to the Free State, it was reported to us that the Free State CFR section dwindled from 47 to 12 members during the last 5 years. And the members indicated they are not able to deal with the issue at hand. They don't got the hands. So the question is raised, the task is that can be led by the Deputy Minister. Are they also going to look at those deficiencies? Because if there's not enough people to deal with the issues of CFR as indicated by the National Commission, we're not going to turn around the strategy then with illegal files. So if you can get a response to that. Honourable Mabasi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also thank the release of the crime space. My question is on there is an outcry out there about the reliability of the space. My direct question is therefore, if the methodology used using the individual results, my second question is, the you spoke of the involvement of SPED as a which is appreciated. But my question is, are we going to see in future a situation where there will be an institution that independently has done SPED? Thank you.
Minister, thank you for the safety speech. My two questions are, how will the SAPS be quality controlled if SAPS does not have the responsibility for releasing the SAPS? What efforts are made to ensure that SAPS members capture the crime correctly education level? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Honourable Maki.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be, overall, generally in Limpopo, every type of crime is increasing in Limpopo, according to the stats. What might be the problem? The only thing that seems to be going in the right direction is crime detected as a result of police action. It has increased more than double any other province. So just to try and understand what actually is happening in Limpopo, is it because of the influx that we see? Because the whole of Limpopo is now red, it's only red dots all over Limpopo. If you could get a reason for that. Police attacks. Just to try and understand what is the trend. Is it a coincidence where police get the criminals red-handed, or is it a direct attack on the police because
there seems to be some trend of a director check on police. And if that is the case, what would be the reason? So this can't be because they want police firearms, or there must be some other reason. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Minister, let me first of all thank you for this. The first time, I think, the release of this concept, so this is something to actually be proud of. However, I'm not really satisfied, I must be honest. Everything that we've heard today for me is what we always hear. We know there are drug problems in the area, we know there's alcohol problems in the area, we know there's police officers that are corrupt, but we hear this year in and year out, year in and year out. And I think what I want to hear today, what drastic measures and steps are we going to take to be able to combat and fight this? We know the challenges, you speak about firearms, you speak about drugs, you speak about trafficking, you speak about foreign, all these things are common, we know about it every day. Tell us what exactly are we going to do to combat this? What mechanisms have you got in place to work with all the other relevant departments, social development, police, international relations, home affairs, whatever it is, what are you putting a big plan in my view to the care? It's writing, I must be honest with you, if you read paperwork, it says something, in reality it's something else. I want to know, what are we going to do? Is there a need for maybe a boss or a, get all the people together, the different relevant departments, and let brainstorm to find solutions? Otherwise, I think we will be saying we're going to face a very, very serious challenge. That's the first thing. With regards to the police killings, and I have to come back on it, yes, Commissioner, when you say that it affects the police, it affects the environment, but I want you to know that when one police officer dies, it affects the entire community, but more so, it affects hundreds of other police officers psychologically. Because police officers do not believe that they are being protected by government, they by accept itself, they don't believe they have enough benefits. And I'll give you an example. How is a guy going to be motivated, a police officer who gets 400 rand to put his entire life a month at this 400 rand daily allowance? We know police officers are done by being shot with the head and the neck. We're already giving them more often than not, but even checked. So I want to know what exactly are we going to do to protect our police officers? They are others. A criminal must be treated with the contempt he or she deserves. What we are doing, we are pushing the criminals at the expense of our police officers. So if we want police officers to come out and really fight crime, then we need to take good care of them. One of the reasons they go out and become corrupt is because of the benefits that they get, because of the conditions that they work on. So I think overall there's so much more to sit really and talk about and find solutions and engage with all these police officers so that we could find solutions and try and hopefully succeed in our battle against crime.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, let me first start with a good story. I want to congratulate the minister and maybe yourself. I know yesterday was a super moon, so it was a super action for the first time in my 26 years as a member of parliament that we received the statistics with the Portfolio Committee of Police. And I want to congratulate the minister and the chairperson for that action. But unfortunately, Chairperson, I must also say that the supermoon is also called the bloody moon. So let me get to the real facts. Firstly, Chairperson, I want to say that I doubt the statistics. And I will say why. Firstly, if you look at slide number 5 of the Commissioner's report on the methodology, it says all crimes are recorded as and when they are brought to the attention or detected by police. Now I want to clearly tell you that is not true. I received numerous complaints of members of the public who lay charges at the police station, but if they follow it up, they just disappear. They don't even get a case number. So that is the first thing. And I can give a personal experience, citizen. I had a break-in or a burglary in my house in the Cajapark. To make a long story short, in the end, when I asked investigating officer what crime has been committed, it was documented as damage to state property. And that is what is happening in practice when it comes to the reporting of crime, and we want to talk about statistics. So I do not agree and think that even if South Africa is brought into the auditing system of verifying the statistics, that this is a true reflection of what is going on in South Africa. It sounds very good if you look at the broad categories. I mean, contract crime, only an increase of 0.9%, contract related, only an increase of 1.9%. But if you look at the more detailed Jefferson, we have a big problem. For instance, if you look at aggravated robbery, for the last 2 years we had an increase of 31.6%. Last year, it was an increase of 8.5%. That's robbery, aggravated. Murder, an increase of 9.6% over the last 3 years. This year, an increase of 4.6%. And then, when it comes to robbery at residential properties, there's no statistics. My question is why? It has always been a category that we have robberies at residential areas or property, because that is one of the most feared crimes of people in South Africa. Why don't we have it in the statistics? Lastly, I want to say, Jefferson, we must not mislead ourselves by thinking that if we have small increases for category, big categories, that crime in South Africa is under control. I'm sorry to say, Honourable Minister, and to the Commissioner, when I look at this, if you look more in detail, crime in South Africa is not under control. Really, an increase of 9.6% over 2 years in murder alone. I've worked it out in figures. That means that last year we had 17,853 murders in South Africa. 17,835 or 53? That we cannot continue with this. So my two questions, Jefferson, why don't we have robbery at residential area of property, and secondly, the verification of the statistics. Can I get an answer on that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Funnelbach. Honourable Bailey. Thank you, Chairperson. For this round, in terms of my two questions, let me just start by saying that in terms of my first question, it is gratifying to see the ongoing trend in reduction of sexual offence-related crime. I think that's certainly a good development. And looking at slide 34, as well as the highlights that the National Commissioner mentioned from slide 59 going on to slide 60, just the improvements in conviction rates and as well as just the overall decrease in the incidences, that speaks to that. So my question in that regard is, what is this reduction trend in these crime categories attributed to in the analysis of the SAS? Is it related, for example, to the reintroduction of the ACS units, which is what I would advance, in which case would the National Commissioner and the Minister agree that this demonstrates a certain efficacy to having a specialized units approach in tackling crime categories that require a focused investigative component. My second question is related to the National Commissioner had indicated a claim about increasing gang-related activity in Masimalele, for example, in the Western Cape. And then last week, while the committee was on its oversight visit in the Free States, we saw flare-ups happening in that province that were related to gang activity and the community backlash to that. And yet, over the past couple of years, there's been an immovable resistance, it seems, in the SAPS as well as the police ministry to the idea of anti-gang units. So linked to my previous question, I have to ask, given at least indications from the FCS environments about the efficacy of the specialized unit approach, why is this seemingly not transferring to the anti-gang and anti-thug environments? Why aren't that seemingly willing to try all avenues, including this one, as opposed to current approach, which seems to be just focused on convening task teams, which of course has their impacts, but as soon as those might get disbanded, you lose that institutional memory and that experience that those officers would have gained. So why are we not open to all avenues, including that specialized unit approach, in order to address these emerging trends around gang activity in Masimalele, the long-standing ones on the Cape Flats, the Free State was last week's example. Just an explanation of what seems to be a blind spot and a resistance to exploring all modus operandi to tackle the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kalabana.
Thank you, Chair. During our committee oversight visit to the Free State a week ago, my discussions with the detectives and others revealed eventually that 7,000 dockets were simply closed and archived during the previous month. Now, that came about because the detectives apparently had over 400 dockets apiece on their desks. So instead of bringing in more detectives, the decision was taken that national provincial crews be sent in to simply close the dockets. Now, all of those victims believe the police are now searching day and night for their rapist or who murdered their loved one or who robbed their house. Why was this decision taken? Is it being done in every province? Has it been going on for years? The first time we've actually heard about this happening, and who's behind this idea? Because, of course, the question is, are those docks that have been shut now removed from the crime statistics? Are they close to 7,000 each month? Is it happening all over the country? What is the situation in relation to simply saying, we'll never catch this person, shut it off and put it in the archive and never look at it again? So that's a huge issue raised last week. Secondly, after 27 top crimes reflected on the website right now, and they were quite bizarrely for some time yesterday, everyone was looking at them. 16 have increased, 11 decreased, but of course most worrying is the murder statistic. Up to the third consecutive year, 49 murders a day. We're basically back, if you look on the loop, to where we were in 2000. So 15 years and billions of rand later, we're back there. And yet, revelations from the Gauteng State Mortuary are that the count last year, according to their body count of murder victims, the count was 1,000 higher than that was released by the SAT. Added to that, apparently babies who are born and unwanted and are dumped in the bush or dumped down pit latrines to die and subsequently die, it's not a murder document, it's an inquest. So they're not counted as murder victims. They're not given an actual file to investigate a murder. No one's held accountable for killing the baby. So there were also over 1,000 of those accounts. So for the first time ever, I'm questioning the murder figures as given, as horrific as they are. Frankly, this number, 17,805, is a number I'd expect from a country at war. And please answer those and speak also to the sexual offences. It's wonderful that it's down by 5.4%, but I fear this may reflect the increased distrust in the SAS by our citizens, and the fact that the NGOs say that 1 in 10, that's a conservative figure, others say it's as much as 1 in 20, only 1 in 20 women who are raped actually go and report that to the police. So our figure may not be 53,000, it may actually be 535,000 a year, according to the NGOs. Now, what research is being done? The Secretary, are they looking into these matters, and when can we see some results? Because somebody has got answers to these questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Tom.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Chairman. I also wanted to take the cue from those who congratulated the department for the prescribed statistics. Well done. We may have our own opinions about what is in there, but at least there is a document in front of us that says something about crime in South Africa. Having said that, I just want to address myself on the issue of violent unrest, because they seem to be actually, you know, a spillover of crime in other categories. It influences the trends in other categories of crime. I just want to know whether there is any specific multi-departmental kind of strategic approach to deal with this, because essentially these violent unrest are actually started by communities because they have grievances on issues related to service delivery. Now, is there any forum where the South actually sit down with those departments involved, could be municipalities as well, to actually deal with the source? Because we can't just be having a perennial, you know, occurrence of these unrest forever, because we can see that they actually impact negatively on our, you know, on the stability of the country. That's number one. Number two, the issue of the proliferation of firearms. I have my concern, because unless we actually deal with that proliferation, we are less likely to see a decrease, a substantial decrease in the commission of crime using weapons such as firearms. My particular concern is on the issue of the control or lack thereof on the temporary firearm licenses that have issued to foreigners. Why do we have to have an issue firearm licenses to foreigners if we cannot control them? And also the issue of the control or lack thereof on firearms in the hands of foreign security companies. Because in this country, there are foreign security companies and they are heavily armed. If there is no specific control and surveillance for the movement of those arms and the use thereof, that would also be a big problem on the crime combating strategies in this country. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honourable Trungu, the last one to start.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jefferson. You know, I think sometimes we need to check quite correctly whether talking to these figures really helps, particularly as Africans. I'll be very, very frank. To me, it tells me about what I already know. Like when I went to Free State on an oversight with members, I think Jefferson will recall. You know, on our way to watch for Channel, we saw huge graveyards on the left-hand side. It's as if there is war. A huge graveyard. And when we asked General, forgotten the name, he said that the graveyard is servicing the community of about 250,000. Thousands of dead bodies. How it told me that here there is something previously wrong. And the steps around there were of conduct crime, Mr. Minister, that you have talked of. Now, maybe where I'm driving at, those people who are buried there are part of existed, that were not changed. Because the biggest crime in the country was dispossession of land of this people, of this country. Biggest crime. Whatever else you are trying to do, it's just a, I think you are right, Mr. Minister, or the National Commissioner. Those are just some kind of reactive modes of trying to deal with this. So sometimes we'll have to deal with this to say, does it help to come to the unknown? No, to the known. Which does not mean you to be a scientist. You know, if you go to one of my certain sections, you definitely get this. Now, first question, Mr. Minister, you know, there is this thing of a right life in terms of our constitution. Right life and also protection of our people by and this right to life is protected in the constitution. If you go to case attorney, I'm sure Mr. Minister you'll answer this honestly. Two issues there. One, total examination of people in a particular hostel of the place without any progress. If you ask the detective division of the province, their violence. Two, the state report talks of rape or sexual offenses. You know, yesterday I was shocked when one young journalist of a particular station who took our people on the very rights that are protected in the constitution reported about trade court abuse of African women by employers there that you be arrested by police of Phoenix. I asked myself a question. Who gets protected by South African constitution? Is it the people that really want us to spend our lives fighting to liberate? Or those who have become partners of the system such that even the repressive arms of states will be used against the very people? If we can respond to that, because I was very shocked. I am from Kenya this morning. I kept lying this morning, I was shocked to say, why even journalists get a protection from the side of the state because of certain people who want to protect petty practices against our own people? Thank you very much.
Finished. Thank you very much. That's the first round. We'll come to the second round. Over to the Honourable Minister, as well as the Deputy Minister and the National Commissioner for Responses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Indeed, I think some of the interventions or the questions that have been posed are quite critical and useful, and they would also be useful in our work as and when we continue. As we continue basically to deal with this particular conference in our society and of course on the basis of the constitutional mandate that we have as a sort of the police service to deal with the issue of business government in our communities. Now, I'm going to respond to some of the points that have been made. I would also ask the National Commissioner to come in there so far as other areas that also have been made. Now, the question posed by the Honourable Chair on the question of resource deployment and shifting and deployment of resources and so forth. I think, you know, members of the Portfolio Committee will remember that when we dealt with the issue of that, essentially has not happened post the Falun Commission's recommendations. We highlighted the fact that there is a need to zoom into three broad categories as part of the overall approach. The one area, of course, is in terms of how do you have got to deal with people as a resource. But the second area associated with that is the question of culture associated with the very same people themselves that you have. The other one, of course, is the question of your, the third area is the question of your business processes. And then you have got to look at all the other institutional arrangements and things of that nature. Now, when you spoke to the question of priorities, I'll give you an example for this. The question of how you conduct policing in a rural area, it has got to take into account that circumstance itself, but also take into account the social dynamic in that particular rural area. So then that's fundamentally different from how you conduct policing, let's say, in an urban or semi-urban kind of a area, for an example. Now, in the first instance, you are dealing with two distinct sort of structural mechanisms, in a way. And that's why I keep on referring to the question of the of understanding the social dynamic itself within it. And for the manner in which you place and you deploy resources must also take such into account. But you also have other factors that you must also look into. The question of the prevalence and the occurrence of a particular type and character of criminality in a particular area, for example. So that also would have to truly be looked into. Now, but I think your question was also, will we be able to look into that? I'm sure that in the context of the task team led by the Deputy Minister here in that regard, they would have to interrogate a number of those particular factors and inform themselves about what the actual sort of dynamics are, and then accordingly take decisions in terms of what is that event appropriate that would have to be taken into account in dealing with some of those particular sort of circumstances. Now, there was also the question raised by the chair of the Central Firearm Registry, and I think other members also have raised the issue. There is a testing that is working on this particular issue. And as we speak, it's also looking at finalizing a report on the CFR. I think the members would remember that when there was a summit here, the Deputy Minister also spoke to a report, specific report, on the Central Firearm Registry, because he conducted the visit there and he brought to the attention of the Portfolio Committee and many of us in this room about what she found there. When that was the case. Now, the same thing also with regards to the firearm control legislation, which is in the process. And we've got to come back to the Portfolio Committee to debate some. Now, there are no holes, for an example, in our firearm legislation. And I think at some point, whether it's now or it's a later point, we have got to confront these issues, you know, point blank. There is a historical part informing how the Firearms Control Act is crafted as we speak today. Because out of the 1902 Anglo-Boer War, the Treaty of Fernandina that was entered into, it had a specific provision also that required to have the kind of law crafted in the manner which we currently do. I think over the years that has gone on, and I think it's something that at some point, because that also in itself informed the question of the gun culture, we have it in our society. But some of the loopholes are in the more sort of pointed kind of manner is you have, I think in the report, if I'm not mistaken, Commissioner, you must have made this one of the slight presentations. I think it is there. You have a situation where those that have got sporting and hunting firearm licenses, for example, there's no limitation. So, in this country, you can easily come across somebody who owns 5,000 firearm licenses. You know, easily. Because you have this loophole that I think in my view has also been exploited in one form or the other. Of no limitation besides the purpose for hunting or sporting purposes and so on. The other one, of course, is a systemic issue. Much as the law talks to capping or a threshold insofar as the amount of ammunition that you can acquire, for an example, but there's no system that says that you went into a Grunewald shooting shop. I don't know what you call it, yeah, shooting shop, and bought some rounds there. But also, next door to Grunewald shooting shop, you have a same shooting shop. So I go there also, you know, the same me, you know, but I also buy it. So there's no system that can easily track some of those sort of loopholes. So these are the loopholes that we also have got to somewhat contrast. So you can, much as the laws prescribes in terms of, you know, what limit is and so on, but basically you can go around it in a way. So these are the issues that I certainly do think we've got to confront. The same also when it comes to the issue of the Central Firearm Registry. We have to come back to the issue because there's also quite some historical background behind the question of the Central Firearm Register. Now, you will recall, Chair, that there have been cases in this country. For instance, I think one of the cases, if not the same thing, Krishna, was based here in the Western Cape, on, you know, the Central Firearm Register. Okay, and that's a matter that is still you know, essentially ongoing. But we would then say that we will come back to the portfolio committee on these two issues to have another discussion on them, the CFR question, but also the question of the firearm control amendment bill. The real reliability of stats and in here, I think I would not miss to talk about what the honorable member of the world spoke to. It's possible that we may be missing a point. The South African Police Service is constitutionally mandated to deal with the issue of peace, stability, crime, and everything else associated with it. And you don't have any other institution that is given such a constitutional mandate for the nation. Now, and of course, we utilize a particular system. 83% of our people, if you get raped, if you get beaten up, if you get assaulted and so on, 83% of our people report such cases to our police stations. They walk into the police stations. They don't come to Mr. Grunewald's house. There's no reason to do so. Now, I'm raising this point because when we say, and I think we have explained the question of the methodology here, for an example, that you can only, as a South African Police Service, work on the statistics on the basis of what has been firstly by and large, 83.4% of which has been brought to your attention, has been reported. Of course, you have the other category, 16.6%, which has reported an increase, where police machines have got worn out, detect crime, conduct roadblocks, do this, do that, and so forth, and therefore register success in those offenses that is concerned. Now, if you then say that you doubt statistics, by how much do you doubt? What is your variance, for an example? And what is your scientific calculation of doubting? Can you work on the basis of, let's say, one particular individualistic sort of experience, as you said, Mr. Fulham, and then say, because of that, just that and that alone, you then define the fate of the entire spectrum of the crime statistics in this country. Now, if that's what we'll allow, and I think that's a skewed form of thinking, really, and approach, because in persons, might as, by the way, I'm also qualifying this, because I'm not trying to say that that was a good experience to have, you know, the case that you spoke about. I'm not saying I'm blowing it and so on. You know. Surely if you report a case, you're not giving the case number, so it's the wrong thing to do. I accept that. But I'm saying you can't use it, and solely just that alone, and say, decide the fate of the whole thing, and say, no, you doubt this part of statistics, because I think that's wrong in the first instance. So, so you take another example about a house breaking in a fashion park. You say it has recorded a state property. Of course, that's a state property where you live. Akasha Park belongs to government, the state. But I think maybe the point that we're trying to raise is that you feel that it's not adequate that such a case was only, you know, dubbed as a damaged property. You know, perhaps it should have been damaged property, plus, you know, house breaking, I suppose. So then I think that's a matter for suggestion, really, in terms of how further we can begin to refine the manner in which we capture, as well as, you know, correcting up our, you know, the incidences and so forth. Perhaps I would understand you to say that's a suggestion and so on. So that I necessarily, I wouldn't have a problem. But so it goes also with regards to your assertion that crime is not under control, because that's just simply a statement. And yet the statistics that he put before you, they say over the 10-year period and over the 5-year period, there have been a difference. And that's not speculated, it's right on the basis of what has a captured and process before us. Now, and I think for me, we need to try and strike the balance between, and perhaps, you know, Mr. one of my members was also trying to figure that kind of balance, and then say, you know, there's an incident in terms of how you experience. And there's the question of how that incident is also captured. And he says that those are two different things, because going through a particular experience also, you know, develops a perception. Okay. But capturing that experience itself is captured by somebody who's not associated necessarily with your incident and so on. And you may have what you want to refer to as one quality disjuncture, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we can only work on the basis of what is what is here before us and how it, you know, what has been captured accordingly in our records, like people who, you know, report incidents of this particular occurrence. It's a matter of debate, because I don't also want to, because I'm not going to be categorical like you're saying. I don't want to create an impression that says the non-crime is a lot. You're not saying that. Right? But you can't not acknowledge the fact that there has been a decrease over the years. And of course, in a particular 12 months, and of course in this for instance around the issue of murders, over the past what, 2 years, we've seen the registering sort of increases in that particular level. So, but when I say that it's not under control, I think it's not true. When indeed your figures do show that you have made this particular increase. And the point that is raised by Honorable Defon and the here is it's a point that we accept. We do need to take comfort in the fact that there is a registered sort of decrease in the issue of sexual offense to Zonese. And you will find that it's possibly a number of different sort of factors that are playing there. One of them is, of course, the FCS, which has done an excellent job in terms of dealing with these cases. But the other one is a social consciousness issue. I mean, if in South Africa today you were to take stock of how many NGOs and government programs are there just all dedicated to the issue of conscientizing society about sexual violence, for example, you will find a million of those particular formations out here in our society, and all of those things. You find that they have either a direct or indirect impact in also the justice of some of this prosecution. So that's from prosecution, for an example, is another element into this. So you find that the number of factors that have played that also contribute to the reduction as we see it. Now, and I think the lesson that we should learn out of this, because again the question of sexual violence is not the type of crime that you can detect per se. It's the crime that we react to as the police says when it gets reported. Now, but the combination of a number of efficient sort of factors, for example, including the FCS unit, including the levels of social conscientization in our society around the scale of sexual violence against women and children and so forth. Perhaps that we can also draw a leaf out of it, and that's the point that I think Mr. Singh, you were also referring to. The multidisciplinary sort of approach in relation to these groups.
Shaky mom.
Sorry?
Shaky mom.
Yeah. I'm well known for naming people wrongly. Miss Kolharana is smiling at me because she knows that she has always given a mistaken identity of sorts. Shaky mom. So, yeah, but I'm saying we can draw a leaf out of it. There are positive things that we can draw out of it, even in relation out of the sexual violence issue, for example, the experience and that we're being able to have there, in relation to issues such as murder, for an example. Now, there is a sense that, and I think we need to dissuade this thinking in our society, including ourselves as politicians. I use that term very reluctantly because I'm not a politician. But, you know, women are something as politicians. it's a fully valid place. These thinking that we think that murder can only be solved by police. And it can't be. It can never be. It's possible. Now, I think we've, in the presentation we've cited this, like, you know, murder occurs largely amongst acquaintances, people who are related, people who are friends, families, and whatever. And those people, when they are going about their own ordinary sort of businesses, for an example, a social life, they don't invite police. They don't say, oh yeah, myself in the... Shaky, one here was going to drink, and I know that he doesn't drink. because they're drinking and so on, and then they say, hey, some policemen come and observe us, the whites are drinking and so on. It's beyond to that. In the same way that Miss Barnett measures is, she doesn't know whether her husband is going to let her, for an example, at any time between tomorrow and tomorrow. Oh, sorry, can I answer the question? Okay. I'm sorry about that. But let's just take an example. When we say that it's something that occurs within close-knit sort of associated people and families or so, it's precisely that. So what does that make the problem to be? It makes the problem to be a social issue which requires largely advocacy. We need starting point, we need to teach our people that the fact that I disagree with you as a friend of mine does not mean I must give you a punch in the face, for example. It just doesn't mean that. It means we must possess adequate skills to be able to resolve our differences, if we have our differences, and be able to work over them, and so on. Now, because it's such small things. I mean, when we presented, when the commissioner was presenting the domino effect, we may check that slide quite nice, but it's true. It starts with a small thing, you know, backhand slap, sort of. The next thing it graduates into a punch, from a punch it graduates into a knife, from a knife into a gun, and the next thing is that you are dead. You know. So these are the patterns that we must interfere with and begin to stand up from that kind of, and that's why I'm making the point, you require social mobilization, you require all of us at political leadership level, at different levels of our society, to put up an effort around the question of reducing the levels of violence in our society. Now, so I agree with all our members that the question of the 0.9 increase in the murder rate, for example, registered this in the year under review, is a cause for concern. We should be concerned for it. But we should also get ourselves activated. And I like the idea that is thrown in by the Honorable Sheikh Imam about the question of a multidisciplinary approach dealing with some of these issues and associated issues such as drug and alcohol abuse, for an example. Of course, I'm not saying that we have not been doing work with other state agencies. We have been, such as social development, for an example. They are also quite involved in this issue. But also we have been coordinating our work around the question of drug trafficking at both the regional level here in the African continent, as well as internationally, to look at how we have got to do this. Was the problem with the question of drug trafficking and human trafficking, by the way, is that you can't just think that you're going to deal with the problem here in any of the suburbs around the country without understanding the international dynamic and the modus operandi at that level. So we need to deal with the entire village in a sense when it comes to that. I'm being reminded here that, in fact, even at the time when there was a discussion on the Firearm Control Amendment bill here, I did mention the point that on the question of persons of violence, we have been advocating and still do advocate for a national dialogue on that issue, amongst other things. We had cited, for an example, I think we had said we wanted to have this in June, July, they say, and we couldn't precisely because of a number of other pressure points that also came up. But the fact is that it's still on the agenda. I know that there's a date in November that has been cited and so on. Now, this is in regard to your point, Honorable Imam, Sheikh Imam, sorry, yeah, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Now, you know, I'm still going back to this and necessarily being in terms of when exactly do I agree with the date or I don't, so this is a matter that you can certainly sort out. We can sort out outside of this meeting. I would suggest that you are making what I would think about, because I don't know how to understand your intervention is the question. The question of, you know, your college. Now, remember that I had just spoken about the question of the prevalence of violence in our society generally. This thing is an amazing thing, and I can make this thing as an example because we have seen it. Even when we are pursuing a legitimate right, such as the right to strike, for an example, which hinges on nothing else but withdrawal of evil. But in the process, to validate that, we think, you know, that then a strike is valid if I beat somebody up or I damage property and whatever. So it also talks to this kind of psyche that we have, that we certainly have got to work hard to try and expand, you know, from our society. So the question of a multidisciplinary approach is it does take place, but only as a manner of intervention. Given a particular case, for example, in the Northern Cape, when there was a disruption of schooling activity, you know, and others, the way they were demanding a road, construction of a road, but they also decided to interfere with the right of children to go to school. So there was no way that the police were going to take this right without working with the municipality, without working with the Department of Basic Education, and of course other organizations outside government, to look at how we needed to resolve that particular issue and so forth. The difficulty is just simply setting it up when there was a basic problem, for an example. Then as a matter of intervention, as and when an incident of such a nature would have arisen, we do work together with other state agencies to try and find solutions. Honorable Fromo, does it help to talk to the law? It does. It's the same thing as I think many of you here every week you go to church and you say exactly the same thing that you said the other week and so on. That somebody's a savior, you say that. You don't say that. Now, we say those things precisely, because it is part of trying to galvanize ourselves morally towards a particular direction. So even in this particular instance, I think it has helped to talk to the law. You know, the law in this particular instance that we have these negative elements within our society. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about them with the view of finding a solution, of course. So that's what the effort should be. I think for me it would be incorrect. To then say, yeah, but this thing is known, so we shouldn't talk about it and so on, because by so doing, I think we'll be essentially conducting certain irresponsibility in a way. So we should encourage that, we should continue to engage around such matters. We are raising a question yesterday, for example, it's just that I do not have a further update in terms of not only just statistics in relation to the situation is the things that they have also fled down. Now, even that, I would also venture to say, and I think like we did with regards to the circumstances in Hostel Lavamashukran, that, you know, there has had to be the pulling together of different social formations and political formations to deal with the question of the fear for violence. The actions today in that hostel, and we have seen a decrease where that was registered and so forth. But recently I had a bit of a flare up and so forth. So all parties involved have to continue to find ways and means of stemming the tide against killings, and everywhere else. But of course, we have to take stock of this particular problem. Ms. Connor Barnett, the question of, I think I would also take it that it's a contentious question of the matter, which the upward trend is on, but I think I've responded to that question. That, police deal with the issue of matter post facto, in a sense. However, the greatest amount of work is the work that we need to do ourselves at a community level, for instance, broad basis level, to deal with the question of violent behavior as well as substantive the issue of matter. The National Commissioner, I think you may have got to respond to their issues such as police attacks. You may want to say something about methodology in terms of reliability of stats. There was also an issue by Ms. Molewat's independent crime statistics company. But I think you must have responded to this one too. We have a constitutional mandate. The South African Police Service is the only agency of state that we have got to deal with the issue of the crime sort of instance in the country. We don't have any other. And therefore, the question of crime stats will continue to play our role there.
Mr. Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Just to touch on the ministers on a number of issues, especially with the issue that was raised around just what the minister finished on the liability, just to indicate that the FSA also has a mandate as a state institution in terms of Statistics Act 96 of 1999 to coordinate statistical production countrywide. Transfer is one such. So the journey that we mentioned earlier on to travel from what we currently announce as a national official state in a very crucial journey, so that transfer could come and occupy the status of GDP, CPI in the country, and there are very strict protocols on how such a process is journey. We started that. This is why now we're starting to talk about a crime clearance certificate that we get and clearance comes to be subjected to particular protocols. So that in itself starts introducing independence and particular collection and general assurance protocols, which is checked. I then also want to touch on what to add on to what the minister said. Remember the issue of the Police Act does allow us to establish units. That is why we have not only the FCS, we have the Stop Theft Unit, which is also showing some successes. So from time to time, we are seeing very serious, complex crimes that require particular management, I'm sure the minister would not hesitate to pronounce.
those type of units. So it is a tool that is available to us in accordance with the Act to assist us to deal with particular issues. We have a box in whatever way you look at it, a very special, dedicated commercial crimes unit that we're having and having successes. So that is an available mechanism for managing crime. The issue of the 7,000 dockets, as indicated in my presentation, Chair, those dockets are part and parcel of the statistics that we have there. The only crime dockets that are then excluded are those that are abandoned, and there is a protocol and a way of dealing with those, so we check all those. The issues of analysis of increasing gang activities, I think I've been learning a lot from the Western Cape. We're even getting into a process where we are talking to authors who are assisting us to write some dictionary and language, because we're starting to have police who are now experts over there, and that is going to assist us also to share such with other areas. So that's an area that the province of Western Cape is assisting us quite significantly on. Chairperson, just to deal with, again, just the 7,000, we have a protocol on how we deal with selling order 325, if I'm not wrong, of the detectives. That really talks to how we manage this docket. The inspection is, and it's not only in Free State. One of the things that we started to was saying, let's analyze the dockets that we're talking about. If somebody is holding 400 dockets, what's the age analysis of those dockets? What nature of crimes is it having? Why is it sitting with those? Is it real dockets? Is it dockets that should have been there? So that analysis is taking place. We've also, Jefferson, included in terms of our own internal performance operationally, the performance management of our subsidy schedule of the detective. So it is those type of things where we see if we need to look at all those crime categories, the docket categories to say, why are you sitting with an abundance of dockets here? What are they about? And that makes it difficult for us. Somebody is sitting with 400 dockets and you do an age analysis, you find that they have dockets that are more than 4 years old, and you're starting to say, what is sitting in there? So you need to check those type of issues. So that process is starting to roll out because we are heightening our performance in terms of the detectives. But also to mention that all those dockets, Chairperson, they will, if new evidence comes in, that docket is on performance. It will be pulled and it will be investigated. Some of them is because they are not finding people, there is no evidence that is coming. Any new evidence, that docket is still alive, it can still be investigated and be dealt with. We are also saying it's important for us to communicate with the victims so that we give feedback. That's an area which we we want to go beyond just saying, yes, come, thank you for coming to the police station, here's your police number. We must use that capacity to be able to say, your desk is sitting at the thing, your docket is now being archived because we haven't been able to this and other. So those type of issues are some of the performance areas we're looking into with the detective care system. Then there was the issue around aggravated robberies and robbery with its residential. I wish to mention that, Chairperson, the issue that has been raised, you recall that the cabinet has asked that we prioritize, for instance, geocrime, sub-categories or whatever, but those categories are already sitting in the broad categories that we're talking about. The issue of robbery residential is sitting in aggravated robberies, and I can quickly touch on that one because it's part of the geocrime. Robbery residential in the previous financial year was at 7.4% positive, but it has reduced a little bit in that positivity to be at 5.2%, but it is sitting with the details that you're sitting in our crisis. And I would also, maybe Jefferson, through you, mention, yeah, it was 7.4 in 13-14, it is now 5.2 to 14.15. Chair, what we also, some of the subcategories, if there is particular interest, we would prepare and be able to pull them from the broad categories and be able to bring them to the committee, you know, because at times we focus on the 21 and ignore some of the subcategories that are of interest and of significance, so we will be able to deal with it well.
Minister,
those are some of the
things
that
you've
dealt with.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I see you, President? No, thank you very much. I must say to the Commissioner here whether the question of the police attacks was an issue raised by Honourable Mackay. Firstly, it's a very concerning development, the question of police attacks. In fact, police attacks represent the most bad one of what, you know, amongst ourselves as South Africans. Because remember, the police are the extension of the society. You know, so the police are us, in a sense. So if society kills police or killing ourselves, so it represents the most backward, basically, in a sense. So on the one hand, you require, as a matter of intervention, social conscientization. I would not even around that around at least in point blank terms, and it's an ideological question. You know, we have got to delve into it. Now, on the other hand, where I agree with the Mr. Mackay, for example, is that there were cases where some of these were sporadic, in a sense, you know, uncoordinated and so forth. And the situation has got to be, we have got to continue analyzing it. One of the, I'm going to limit myself here in the first instance about what I need to say about this one. For instance, in the Eastern, your coastal areas and whatever in Eastern, some of these incidences are now assuming the land again sort of approach. And that then must begin to tell you in terms of firstly what kind of a problem we're beginning to have there, but also the kind of a response that we also require, in a sense, because that's no longer productive, that's an organized formation. Your number games are organized sort of formations. Now, something I've just picked up for an example, that there is also that developing trend in such an area, but I'm sure that we're also likely to pick up many more sort of trends. For example, in different parts of the country around the question of police killing. Not so long ago, the National Commissioner also, I think, advised a sort of hands on the question of a response plan, when I'm the effective response kind of plan, for example, to deal with the question of police killings. Which, besides the question of what needs to be done at the broader sort of community level around the question of prioritizing all our sons, that we can't continue with something like this, but there are also measures themselves and situational analysis and trends that we have to be continuously studied and analyzed to also inform the managers to prepare our sons as members of the police service, for example, as a Royal National Duty, or even of duty for that matter, around the question of serving our service. So, indeed, the point I want to make, though, is that, you know, yourselves as a responsible political leadership, for an example, you have got to be activated around such an issue. And that's why we also need to be measured. I think I once said this thing some few months back in the chamber, that we also need to be balanced in a manner in which we deal with criticism leveled against the police service. It's something else for sense to criticize me or the National Commission about many other things that we may want and so forth. But let's respect the fact that these are professionals. If we have got to do their work. But in fact, I was answering Mr. Fonable at the time on that question, if I'm not mistaken. To say we need to build our police. And we can't, at a political leadership level, dish out a negative message that then says to ordinary people on the ground that we do not take police seriously and therefore they are of no value. Because indeed they are likely to react in a particular manner, in the manner in which they would then continue to relate with the members of the police service. So it's also we do need to make a political intervention at the level of where we are ourselves, the people that we lead, to begin to educate them about the question of the value that the police actually render to the existence of South Africa as a country and ourselves as a society. So I wanted to say just that much about the question of the police attacks and police killings. Honourable, thank you very much.
Very much. Honourable members, maybe just in case I know that the minister's got a 2 o'clock appointment with the court estate, and they are, I think, I'm looking forward to that. I'll allow one question from them. Very short. I'll allow 4 mini speeches today. So those speeches are announced. We have heard it. They're on record. So let's go to the topic of the day, the stats. We will allow you another meeting to do some mini speeches. So, topic of the day, one question per member, and then we then off plus. Those members who don't want to come here, they're also welcome. Honourable Market.
Thank you, Chairperson. I asked something about Limpopo. What are the trends? What's happening there? Is it because of witchcraft or what?
Thank you. Honourable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. One very big question. My understanding is very simple. There is lack of consequences. And I'll give you a big example. Hanover Park. There's a police station. Responsibility of that station commander or the officers is to safeguard the interest of the people in the area. How is it possible that drug trafficking can thrive in an area like Hanover Park, even though there's a police station with all the police officers and nothing happens? So I'm saying, what action would we take to ensure that those responsible in the stations perform their duties and do it well? If not, there must be consequences. And added to that is the fact that I think we did discuss previously, Minister, in attracting the right quality of people right from school level. Thank you.
Honourable Phil Walt, if you could just wait the 2 ladies, they go to just give an example of or ask a question without their speech. Honourable Mulabas, we'll come to you.
Yes, thanks, Chairman. My question is somehow concerned with me, but for the good reason, but when a docket is opened, and after 3 minutes, the same docket is withdrawn. That will help as far as the performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mula, and then Honourable Sir Ross. Sorry,
thank you,
Honourable Mula, and then we'll talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Will the transfers be released quarterly by the SSA? Thank you.
Honourable Sir Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just on a point of clarity first. Do I understand from the Commissioner that we get the detailed statistics will be published for instance when we get the raw figures and not only the percentages? Just a point of clarity, like we received it in the past. If I can come to my question, Chairperson, I just want to say my question is part of the fact what the Minister said, that crime is not, when I said that crime is out of control. What he's actually saying is that we only have the statistics of 83.4% of crime in South Africa first. I'll get in another time in a debate with the Honourable Minister when it comes to crime out of control, but if you look at community complaints about no policing, vigilantes, and negligence, I think he needs to ask more about that. My question to the Honourable Minister. Minister, these statistics are old statistics. Statistics of last year. We are reporting to the Portfolio Committee of Police on statistics. Please, is it possible that we can get quarterly crime statistics that we can deal with it in the committee to see what we have to do now? It's no use looking, yes, it's only perspective of what the crime statistics were. Can we do that, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Bailey. Thanks, Jake. I'm going to try to rephrase this question differently because it didn't get a clear or direct answer. I'm not sure if that's because it... Oh, yes, that's why. Chair, so we've had the assertion that crime is... Chair, I don't need any parts you want to add.
No, I don't barely start protecting
No, Chair, nothing happens. We've had the assertion that crime in many ways is a reflection of our society, and that speaks to many of violence, capitalism, crime. And yes, we, again, as I said in the previous round, we've seen this decrease in terms of the sexual offences. Now, the question I asked then was, what is this attributed to? It didn't get addressed. But my question now is, if crime is a reflection of the society, and you know that our society has very strong roots of patriarchy and violence. Given that background, what is this downward trend in the inner city environment attributed to? Because it's clearly some kind of policing action in spite of the context that is addressing this. What do we attribute that to?
Thank you. Honourable Cotabona.
Chair, this is actually to Sam's essay, if I may. I need to know, and I heard a great deal of what you said, but I don't think it means that you actually audited the figures. Specifically went to the stations to dig deep and audit the validity of them. We know of instances where an attack and beating of a civilian is recorded as theft of a cell phone. So that kind of audit to see that the docs are a true reflection of the crime situation, because of course that's what's needed is a proper audit. And one has to question the decision not to release the murder rate, as, for example, per 100,000 of the population. That is the international comparison. So I don't see it anywhere. I've been looking online since you sat down, just Honourable Criminals. It's been up for hours. So I just wondered why that decision was taken. And you also take into consideration in your investigations how the statistics relate to resourcing at stations. I was at Norcombe Park and Ekurhuleni last night where 121 of the operational members, out of that 76 had failed their competency certificates. So we have massive under-resourcing which should be addressed in relation to the crime statistics per station, but it's just not happening. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On slide number 27, it is actually reported there that some 686 police were arrested for various types of crime in 2014 and 2015. I'm interested to know how many of these were successfully prosecuted, because I won't believe that arresting them is one thing, but actually achieving a successful prosecution is another. Thank you.
Honourable Krumwe, you're the boss.
No, there's a very much. I wonder, Mr. Minister, in all this, maybe you'll pardon me, I didn't mean this, something that you don't have to talk about this, but talking about really the unknown, nobody will go to bed without food. When people are poor, they will do whatever they think that is incredible. But in your future citizens, Is it possible maybe to come up with a mechanism to say, here, these are the prevalent crimes, then maybe then we can begin to know the economic conditions of those particular communities, so that maybe we can, at the political level, be able to address other departments. See, what does me in 3 days? I even said, it's examination of our resources, but in this case, it's poverty that is killing people most. You cannot just teach police. As a present Hamel state, even that what is loving, it will just go out of hand, even if you can add the movie, 1,000 times bigger than the conditions of that particular community. It's serious, serious what I saw there. So that I've been like, it's a whole thing. I know, spreading it.
Thank you, Honourable Members. That's the question for today. I'm over to the Minister and the National Commissioner and the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Look, just 2 general points. Let me start to you with the with a point raised by the Honourable Song. And I think it's an established right system. You don't require any other study. It's an established right. The linkage or the causal link between the extent of poverty and socioeconomic conditions that are not sound and the prevalence of crime, for example. It's an established fact. It's historical in this country. The same thing also is happening is that even when it comes to issues like drug abuse and alcohol abuse, you know what I'm talking about. In most of the areas that live in, there is a high level of intoxication. And that is what is really concerning, because the significant problem is largely resident in working class areas, in poor communities and so forth. So it's a serious problem. So it's an establishment, but the fact of the matter also is that all it says is that our work is not complete yet in terms of dealing with the broader sort of social circumstances in a sense, in the manner that the social circumstances itself would produce reduced levels and patterns of crime and violence in our society. For example. So it's a critical point, and I think it's a vulnerable point. It should actually be a rallying point right across our side of this political crisis, that this is a circumstance that we've got to effectively sort of deal with. So that's the one point. Now, I've been asked this question about the release of statistics on a quarterly basis, not only now, but also before. Now, there's a cabinet position on the issue, taken some time back. Now, there is a discussion somewhere else at the level of government to begin to say, shouldn't we look at maybe reviewing that, and how does that impact on issues of planning processes, for example. But I'm saying the discussion in one corner somewhere else, and I'm not going to, you know, to get much into it, if I may put it that way. There's a view that says maybe for better alignment and planning purposes, we may have got to review the question of the annual release of statistics and so on. But then how often is quarterly, is it once or twice a year and so on? I mean, that's part of the discussion. But I think, Ellen, when we reach a particular point around that, we are able to then advise accordingly in regard to that. There's also a view that says that some of the trends in crime, they don't take, it's difficult to follow them. and conceptualize them properly. You require a little bit of time to study them over a period of time and so forth. There is also that, amongst other things. So the question would be, you know, how do you then balance the whole thing up, I suppose? How do you also satisfy that some of the criminal trends may take longer than your 3 months or so, and how would that impact on planning and intervention sort of plans for the next level that you may want to design? And so on. I think that's part of an ongoing sort of discussion and debate. Mr. Mbele, you were out when I responded to this question. And I think you should pay me for the, if I got to repeat this. It's called what? It is called response fee or something like that. I was saying, look, the question of the difference in the occurrence of certain sort of offences, it's attributable to a number of different factors, contributing factors. Of course, the efficiency internally in terms of how the FCS unit is functioning is one particular matter. It's a contributing factor. But also, remember that there is execution also. If you yield successful sort of a conviction rate around sexual offences and sexual violence, the kind of cases of this women and children, probably that's all the direct sort of contributing factor among other things. But also the fact that in South Africa today we have a myriad of organized formations. I think the question of advocacy around the question stopping the gender-based violence, for example, is really high on the South African social and political agenda. Now, so all of those particular factors, so you may find that even if you were to conduct further studies on the issue, that it's possible to find that it's not going to be just one single intervention that therefore yields a particular sort of difference of this measure. I think over the years, South Africa has also been experiencing an increase in the number of people reporting cases of sexual abuse, or domestic abuse, or gender-based violence, and so forth. You know, that there's a little high level of consciousness today in South Africa, as opposed to any other time before, I think. Precisely because your government agencies are driving programs around this. They're also collaborating with the NGO sector in, you know, many advocacy kind of approach around issues of this nature. You also have successful sort of conviction rates also built by judicialism. So it's a combination of a number of factors across the FCS unit within the police service also effectively doing its work. I'm going to tell you what my fee is outside of this meeting. Mr. Miller, thank you very much.
National Commissioner, are you going with the remaining ones?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me deal with the issue of Limpopo, the issues that we are fighting. The first thing that may indicate that Limpopo is also one of those rural provinces where we need to also, like, is the key to our game in terms of innovative policy for provinces such as those ones. There are challenges in terms of living in those places. Indeed, police operations, as indicated, have picked up. The issue of influx, also as indicated, is a very serious contributor to this area. And as I said, if we look at, even if we compare with other classes, you look at the impact of influx on our education and our hospitals and all those type of issues, who are all, you know, as the administrators, consider to the fact that that is having an impact on our operating. We've also seen an increase in terms of public protests. If you think of the Malawi's of last year, the northern area, the GP area, so there's been a lot of
for business generation, for Limpopo also, taking, absorbing the load of our police into those type of activities. But there are other also other forms of crimes that are preventive services, lawyer do and not going, and Sishim come in a little bit strong on issue of the sexual offences. You start seeing some of those indicators driving the animals. We've also looked into reclassification of that area in terms of people and the reorganization of the people in that area. And if you look at their first and second quarter performance, it's much, much different from what happened last year. So I'm hoping for a much better and improved performance in that area. And just historically, what I found when I got into the organization, there was a lot of baseline that had to be looked into in terms of set issues. So that also are picking up. I recall that it's one of the provinces where there were even criminal cases against some of the police for malrecording during the children's work time. So we are baselining also to ensure that we need the integrity of our data collection and the capacity there is what it should be. So we are free to punish and fire anybody who underreports them. So it's some of the issues that we're working on.
Chairperson, I think the minister is just running everything. There was an issue around the road data, yes, in a similar fashion that we've done in the past. Online in terms of our website, as we finish the announcement, we will upload all the raw data. It will be there to be available in our printed staff report. It will also be reflected here, but then it will be delivered with the annual report to the portfolio committee. So that data is still available. Our first in terms of reporting chairperson, we had indicated already in the previous report that we are using raw numbers and not ratios. But we give a formula in our report and our basis. Anyone who wants to do a comparison in terms of ratios can be able to take raw figures and compute them into ratios. But our basis for reporting is raw figures. The issue that was raised by Honorable Liberty on the case that is open for 3 minutes and closed has a very complex and intricate one. And ordinarily, I'd be asking myself if it's unfounded because maybe this person had acted wrongly and now discovered that his car is still there in the airport, then that can happen. But ordinarily, we would be concerned of the majority of people coming to open dockets and lose the, it's almost the consumption, a negative consumption of energy from both the victim as well as the police. But if there are those type of issues we would look into, I don't know, unless it's an error from the person who's reporting, I don't believe that the police have the capacity to do that if somebody's actually reporting, unless indeed there's something unfounded. But maybe we want to understand more the dynamics behind that to see what are the issues, maybe we can give an extended answer in terms of that share. There was an issue around the thriving drug business. An example was given of Hanover Park and there's a police station. I just want to go back to that to say it's important for the police indeed to ensure that there's visibility, they do their work. But also that thriving business, it's important for the communities to also play a role because our intelligence lies in the community. If they are coming forward and they know their circumstances and their environment, inform us, they would be able to assist us to do the work because that basic intelligence in the community lies in the community. So it's a working together exercise that we need to look into. And I mean, you know, we were discussing with a group of people who were being at schools. We have a role to play as the police. A municipality has a role to play. It's even simple health inspectors to check the nature of food that is being sold by those street workers, because then they can test some of the cookies that are there to start saying, are they real cookies or are they whatever. The health inspectors can also play a role in assisting us to do so. The teacher can play a role in teaching children to say, these are the good food to buy and all it. And the issue of zoning of businesses, the municipality can play a role to start saying, you cannot have a shady village in front of the school, because those children will come out and resort there. A lot of work that has to be done by all of us, including us, the police. And it is that collaboration that more and more is proving to be an area that requires all of us to look into. The issue of the 686 chairperson police that were arrested, we can the progress report on this just to engage where that is seeking that information we have asked for. I think SA's report on the issues.
Thanks, Chair. I think as I will get on the statistician general, what we did is more resource compliant than what the full source compliant. And some of the indicators that are indicating there are out of the full source compliant. Not only talking about the checking of the resources, but also the efficient use of those resources as part of the full source compliant.
Thank you, Louis. Every question answered. Thank you very much. Is there anything, Brian, from you?
All members, thank you very much. Now, I just wanted to thank yourself and the members of the Control Committee for granting us this opportunity. I know that it's a business, and for all our members who have taken time out to come and congregate down here in Cape Town to receive this report. We're very grateful for that. But I also want to say Mr. Friend, Honourable Member of Labour, it has left. Just to, you know, take on to that point and just appreciate his comments on this one. We are very particular about the fact that our work belongs to the institutions of governance. Public institutions of governance. And the fact here is that, you know, we felt that it's important, could be important, and I think from this point moving forward, it would be important that we follow a particular sequence. Members of Parliament, they are custodians and representatives of public interest. So it becomes important that our work must also be filtered at this particular level before any other engagement. So thank you very much for affording us such an opportunity. Chairperson and all members, thank you. And of course, Mr. Bailey, after this meeting.
Thank you, Minister and members, for the interaction today. Yes, Minister, as we said earlier, we welcome the approach by the Minister to consider the portfolio committee. We think it's appropriate and I think it's set a good example for other members of the Cabinet. But maybe just 8 points from our side in terms of evaluating today. I think the Portfolio Committee of Police welcomes the innovation of Stats SA to evaluate the validity and representativity of the SAPS annual statistics. We are, of course, will also await the report of the Auditor General in that regard. Then the increased contact crimes concerning and more should be done by SAPS management in collaboration with community structures to innovate strategies to bring contact crime down. We believe that the reduction in crime against women and children is welcome. We believe that concerns with regard to sexual offences and the FCT units needs to be supported and all stakeholders must play their part. The trend in increasing gang violence is concerning and needs to be addressed by all stakeholders, especially school communities and youth formations. Then the level of gun violence is still too high and all resources should be applied to bring it down. We agree with the Minister. that we really need to again visit that on the national level and to have a national discourse on gun ownership and confront the issue right on. Then violence in the society is too high, and we believe that the respect for the rule of law should be cultivated at all levels, especially at school level, because it's not only the responsibility of the police, it's the responsibility of all. Then we also believe that the task team that's been announced by the minister could play a vital role in ensuring that we format the approach and the response to the leaders' challenges in the police correctly, and we believe that that can be a proactive resource going forward. And finally, the portfolio committee wants to thank the thousands and thousands of honest police persons who every day do their utmost to uphold the law. We think they do an excellent job. We've seen that in the Free State, hardworking people at all levels, and we must really applaud them for their hard work. Thank you very much. This meeting is closed.